I'm calling to order the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency meeting for Thursday, December 16, 2021. I'm going to, I have the script here, which I'm trying to follow. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. Instruction to join the virtual meeting as well as contact information for assistance as provided in the published meeting agenda. I'm going to ask Councilman Thompson to give us the invocation. Following that, I'm going to ask him to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Everybody, please stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you with bowed heads and humbled hearts, thankful once again of our chance to gather to perform the business of the great people of our county, Palm Beach County. And as we do this, as we gather to make these decisions, we ask for wisdom to make wise decisions. We ask for humility, and we ask for a servant's heart, knowing that we are in this in these positions not to be served, but to serve. We ask for a special blessing on the chairperson of this meeting, and we ask that you look over us and keep us safe, as well as our constituents. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Thompson. We appreciate those remarks. Can we have a roll call, please?
At this time, I am only asking those members attending in person to respond by saying "here" when I call your name. I want to remind you that there's a button on the base. When the top is red, it means you're on and on the recording. So Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker. Andy Thompson.
Happy to be here.
Stephen Grant. Shelley Petrolia. Joelle Flores.
Present.
Jim Koretsky is absent. Christopher McVoy. Joni Brinkman.
Here.
Catherine Waldron.
Here.
Melissa McKinley.
Here.
Maria Marino.
Here. Commissioner McBernard on behalf of Commissioner Marino.
Thank you. Maria Sachs.
Here.
Greg Weiss.
Here.
Shirley Lanier. Fred Pinto.
Here.
Michael Napoleon.
Here.
Christina Lambert.
Kelly Schoaf on behalf of Christina Lambert.
Joseph Peduzzi. Chelsea Reed.
Here.
Robert Weinroth.
I am here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Margie. All right. Are there any modifications? Oh, first of all, let's see. Do we have anybody who's trying to participate virtually?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So I have a few. I have Commissioner Peduzzi is out of town on business. Commissioner McVoy is, had a close contact with someone with COVID-19, so he's not permitted in our office at this time. And then I have council members Yvette Drucker and Shirley Lanier are feeling under the weather, so they didn't want to come in person. And all of them are asking for TPA board permission to participate remotely.
I move approval.
I have a motion by Vice Mayor Weiss.
Second.
Second by Vice Chair Reed. All in favor, all opposed, show that has been approved unanimously.
Yes, sir. And I do have additional items for modifications.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to modifications to the agenda.
Okay, so I have, we are asking to add a legislative update as an information item to be heard before the Palm Tran update. On the printed agenda on your dais on page 4, it's shown and underlined that addition. As well as we have a revision for consent agenda item 1G1, which is our 2022 meeting calendar. The intention is to show that the governing board meetings start at 9:30 and not 9.
We'll have some discussion about that.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as modified? I have a motion. I didn't hear where.
I had a motion by Napoleon.
Okay. And seconded by Vice Chair Reed. All in favor, all opposed, show that that's been approved unanimously. Just as a matter of clarification, I'm going to use the same process we do at the County Commission on voting. You don't need to yell out a yes. If I call for the vote and you are in affirming the vote, you don't need to say anything. If you want to go nay, let me know, and then if I'm in question, we'll call for a roll call. Okay. All right, so we have moved and we have modified the agenda, And so let's see. Time for general comments. Problem with this second agenda you give me, it's got a lot more stuff on it than the other agenda. So members of the public are going to be invited to offer general comments. Do we have comment cards, Ms. Pierce?
We do have comment cards, but no general public comments. The one I provided to you is for the first action item.
Okay, very good. Any members who have comments, this would be the appropriate time. Vice Mayor Reed, you are recognized, and then we'll go to Commissioner McKinley.
Thank you so much, Chair. So I want everyone to take a moment. Do look at the consent agenda now. You'll see the 2022 meeting dates. Look at them now. Put them on your calendar, please. The reason I'm being a little fussy about this is my little iPad. If you're unable for some reason to not stay for the duration of our meeting, I highly encourage you to change your schedule or set up for your alternate looking out to the entire year. We have an opportunity here on the TPA board to make a real difference, but we can't do that if we're not here and we don't have a quorum. So if you can't come to the meetings and stay for the duration of the meeting, I highly recommend you reach out to your alternates now, because or step down and allow someone who will take the time to invest what we need to do here in the TPA. Because remember, we have $600 million annually that we fund. The tip alone is $3.4 billion. We have a lot on the horizon, 1,900 square miles, 15 million or more people now. And I don't know how we're going to be able to grow consensus if we don't all stay for the meetings and actually show up for the meetings or send an alternate. So I am begging you, please look at your calendars now. If there's anything that can get in the way, whether it is a holiday, graduation, religious event, or otherwise, plan ahead now so that we can go forward into this year as a cohesive group making the right decisions for our residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I will echo those remarks. I mean, we've had a meeting that had to stop because we ran out of participants and we lost our quorum. Today, we are very close to that point again. So if anybody has to leave early, we may be faced with a same situation. So certainly, anything you can do to clear your schedules for these meetings would certainly be appreciated. Commissioner McKinley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will go ahead and let you know that I won't be at the December 15th, 2022 meeting because I won't be elected. just letting you know in advance, I'll have to have an alternate. No, on all seriousness, two quick items. Number one, I want to thank Nick Urin for being on NPR yesterday and stating that streetlights on State Road 80, that we are going to make that a priority if federal funding comes in, and they'll be seeking financial assistance to make that happen sooner rather than later. So very curious about how that process will start and what we need to do to make that happen. Second of all, I am reading Commissioner Marino's letter here, and I know she's not here today. And I know that Commissioner Bernard is her alternate, but I just want to point out the very last paragraph, if you didn't read through all of that, talks about adding a local initiative project for streetlights in the area of Central Boulevard and Palm Beach Gardens, where the young Ryan Rogers recently lost his life. I just want to say I support that initiative, and I'm happy to move that forward on her behalf and give staff direction to research the possibility of adding that into our plan.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I'm going to have Ms. Pierce read the letter into the record at the point in which we finish the comments.
Yes.
Anybody else who's here who would like to make a comment? Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Schoaf, West Palm Beach. I just wanted to take a point of privilege, as I don't typically sit on this board, to say thank you to the TPA for your continued support to the Broadway corridor in District 1. We are moving forward with a resolution from the City Commission to FDOT to continue that study. Wanted to say thank you to Commissioner Bernard and his office for coming out to talk to some of the local neighborhoods surrounding Australian Avenue as well. To the extent that the TPA can continue to be supportive, looking at the safety of this street, it's extremely important. We had also a pedestrian and car incident that sent a man to the hospital along Australian. We continually have cars that go off the road and hit homes of our residents. And so how we can reduce the speed on this road is imperative to our residents. So we continue to work with the county on that and appreciate the support of the TPA in that. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for those comments. Okay, I see no more comments at the table. Ms. Pierce, would you do us the honor of reading the comments that were received from Commissioner Marino?
Before I do that, I do have that Councilwoman Lanier raised her hand.
Okay, let's do that remark first then.
Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to just say that I'm on the dais or I'm virtual to make a note in the transcript.
Yes, ma'am. I'll note that you joined the meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Pierce will read into the record the letter that was sent by Commissioner Marino.
Yes, sir. So it says, "Dear members of the board, please allow me to clarify my understanding of the vote taken during the TPA Executive Committee meeting under the discussion pertaining to the TPA Interim Executive Director. I was voting with the understanding that this was a recommendation to the full governing board, knowing that there would be further discussion. I made an original motion to have Mr. Andrew Euler serve as an interim executive director, knowing that he was not interested in the permanent position. The motion did not get a second. Whether Mr. Uren leaves tomorrow or next month, as his contract provides, he receives his salary through next month. Adding an additional salary that is yet to be negotiated or budgeted for is not to our advantage. Mr. Uren felt that Mr. Euler was capable of serving in this capacity for the time necessary to find and hire a replacement. The additional motion to hire Slavin brings a period of about 8 weeks to find and retain Mr. Uren's replacement. I look forward to this process and feel that with the help of Slavin, the executive committee will have multiple qualified candidates from which to choose. I encourage Ms. Nielsen to follow in that process. I also encourage Mr. Buchwald, whose commitment to this opportunity comes at a cost, by announcing his intentions at an open meeting before informing his board. Additionally, I welcome anyone to apply who is interested and meets the qualifications. Staff will also be able to focus their attentions on the duties at hand and will understand that a formal selection process is underway for a permanent director. Secondly, I would like to propose the possibility of a local initiative project for streetlights in the area of Central Boulevard and Palm Beach Gardens, where Ryan Rogers lost his life. There has been an outpouring from the local community in support of an effort for streetlights. Moreover, while this is a county road, the actual installation and maintenance of lights within a municipality falls on that city. This action would demonstrate our continued commitment to pedestrian and traffic safety and listens to the voices of our constituents. Thank you for your consideration. Sincerely, Commissioner Maria Marino."
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay. I'm going to now look for a motion. First of all, does anybody want to remove anything from the consent agenda? Do we have any common cards on the consent agenda?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to remove item G3 from the consent agenda.
Could you repeat that? Item 2?
Item 3.
Item 3. Okay. Commissioner McKinley is removing item 3 from the consent agenda. Any other items that anybody wants removed? Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
I have a motion by Commissioner Napoleone.
Second.
Second. All in favor? All opposed? Show that as approved unanimously. Okay, let's take up item 3 from the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask that we reorder the agenda and take up this item after we consider item 2A.
I have a motion to reorder the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mayor Flores. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor? Aye. All opposed? Okay, show that unanimously approved. The agenda is reordered. Item G3 will be handled after we handle 2A.
And okay. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. We did skip over the executive director's report.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Do you want to take that up now or do you want to move forward?
We'll take it up now.
Okay, perfect.
Nick, I'm so sorry for skipping over you.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to give you one final address.
wanted to highlight a couple of items for you. First, Amanda Williams was hired by the TPA as our new executive secretary, and she is coming to the TPA from the state of Minnesota, which has the wonderful distinction of being the only state which was completely covered in snow this past week in the continental United States. So we are excited to welcome her to Florida. She has an economics degree from St. Catherine University, and I think she's going to be a wonderful addition to the team. Wanted to ask you to mark your calendars. The Safe Street Summit will be held. This is a formal partnership between the TPA, the Broward MPO, and the Miami-Dade TPO. We've all chosen one slightly different acronym for our agencies. Miami-Dade TPO is going to be the host for this coming year's summit. It's February 17th and 18th at the Intercontinental Hotel, which is down on the Intercoastal Waterway in Miami. And you can register at safestreetsummit.org. As a reminder, registration for you as board members is covered by the conference, so it's complimentary to you. Anyone who did not get a chance to participate in the South Florida Transportation Surtax roundtable discussion that we hosted last week here at the TPA, the presentations made by the Broward MPO, the Broward County folks, and the Miami-Dade County folks are all available under palmbeachtpa.org/meeting. If you scroll down to special meetings, it is the first special meeting on that list. All of those presentations are available to you. Going to the next slide, I wanted to mention we have an ongoing study for the Okeechobee Boulevard corridor from State Road 7 all the way to downtown West Palm Beach to and we're also including the State Road 7 corridor as part of that initiative from Forest Hill Boulevard up to Okeechobee Boulevard. So it's a long corridor study, and we're looking at multimodal alternatives. What could that corridor become, and how can we partner with the land development plans for the corridor to make a balanced infrastructure and land development proposal for the overall area? We are very interested in board member feedback on that. We have developed a list of alternatives that are being evaluated right now. Those alternatives are provided in a report under the special report section of the agenda in section 4. And we encourage you, if you have particular input for that study, to reach out to James Reinhardt. He's our lead planner for and transit coordinator at the TPA. And he will make sure that all of your questions are answered and all of your comments are addressed as we proceed through that study. Also wanted to mention there's a survey and a virtual workshop available to go through at the palmbeachtpa.org website/hokey. And then one more item on the report, the funding programs for the TPA, we have three of them. The state road modifications, which allows you to propose a change to a state road running through your communities. Local initiatives funding, which is the federal funds available through the TPA, primarily for county and city roads running through your communities. And then transportation alternatives is a smaller funding pot. It's a subset of federal dollars available for non-motorized transportation projects. Those three programs, we seek applications annually. The applications are due in February of 2022. This is where that conversation about lighting on Central Boulevard could fit in. The city of Palm Beach Gardens would be a wonderful applicant for that project, knowing that it would be done in partnership with Palm Beach County as the owner of the road. And then the TPA could provide the capital funding needed to construct the streetlights. But those streetlights would need to be designed by the city or the county, one of those two entities. So we would need to figure out who can perform the design in an expedient manner in order to submit that application in February, put it on the TPA's priority list for funding. And that's where, if additional funding becomes available through the infrastructure bill that has recently cleared Congress and been enacted by the president, that's where those additional funds could be potentially used to accelerate implementation of that project, along with, as Commissioner McKinley noted, the State Road 80 streetlights, which have been a high priority for the TPA governing board. And lastly, Mr. Chair, I'll take a moment of personal privilege. Many of you take advantage of things like Google Photos to keep track of your history, make sense of the chaos of your lives. This morning, I received a note saying, hey, remember this day in history. It was a look back on April of 2013 when my family had made a cake for me to honor my selection as the director of this agency. And so I think it's fitting that I would be able to say to you that I have really, really been appreciative and thankful for the opportunity to serve. It's been a wonderful honor and privilege to serve this board. I have served alongside of an excellent team, and I have really appreciated your leadership as you focused our mission, making sure that we are collaborative in all that we do in planning, prioritizing, and funding the transportation projects that make the most sense for our communities, and the way that you've advanced our vision of a safe, efficient, connected, and multimodal transportation system. I've been thrilled that you've entrusted to me the challenge of establishing this body as an independent agency. And I have also been really encouraged by the way that you have embraced and felt empowered as a board to achieve balance in the investment in transportation systems so that we can include local priorities and not overlook or force things on communities that don't want them, but also achieve and maintain a commitment to a regional mobility system that works for the betterment of all of our members, our constituents, and our visitors. So thank you and happy holidays and best wishes in your future endeavors.
Thank you, Nick. Vice Chair Reed.
Regarding the streetlights, thank you so much for pointing out what Palm Beach Gardens can do come February to try to make that happen. As far as maintenance goes, looking out 5, 10, 15, 50 years, who would hold the bill for that? And is there any funding available for that?
So the who would hold the bill, Mr. Chair, if I could respond, the who would hold the bill is really a matter of county policy. It's my understanding that the county's policy regarding streetlights on a county road within a municipality is that the municipality should pay the operation and maintenance costs of the associated streetlights. And so that, as long as that policy remains in effect, then it would be the city who would be asked to pay those operation and maintenance costs. As far as funding goes for operation and maintenance of streetlights, the TPA is not a funding source for that. The TPA's funds through the federal formula dollars that are available to us, and even the discretionary grants, are primarily available for capital construction costs, for the initial cost of putting the streetlights up. And then the ongoing O&M costs are the responsibility of the local government.
Thank you for your clarification.
Vice Mayor Weiss.
Thank you. First off, Nick, wish best wishes in your future endeavors, wherever the roads or bike paths take you. You mentioned the Okeechobee multimodal study, and I was out with constituents last week, and these are, as you know, there are a number of senior communities in proximity to Okeechobee Boulevard, and they were confused, if you will, by the type of survey. They're used to the fact that they're able to get online is a great thing, but I don't think there's they had trouble understanding how to implement the survey and the whole format. They're used to surveys with questions, and I think drawings. They were confused by some of the road design drawings and things. So and the terminology as well. And I know it was contained within the survey itself, but with the different pages they needed to click on and so forth, it was a confusing type of interface for them. So maybe moving forward to, as you're looking at creating these surveys, you maybe test them with folks that are not real computer savvy or literate so that they can fully participate in providing their feedback. And then just quickly to Vice Chair Reed, the county policy on maintenance and on paying for the operation streetlight is based on the fact that the cities collect, as well as the county, franchise fees on the electric utilities. So that's the rationale. You're welcome.
Thank you. Commissioner Sachs.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And Nick, just want to thank you for your all your help and assistance. I know you met with me when I first assumed this position about a year ago. And I think that I was really impressed with your forward thinking, your way of looking at European cities to see how they handled pedestrian and bicycle traffic. And I think that leave it to Google Photos. They know. Somehow they track us. So I hope that in the next couple of years, you'll also be able to look in the Google Photos, which show you what the path forward will be for you. And I hope it's always lit with good streetlights. Thanks so much, Nick, for all your leadership.
Vice Mayor Weiss, did you want to be recognized again? No, okay. All right, I see no more cards up. Ms. Pierce, do we have anybody from our virtual audience who wants to speak?
I have no virtual members or members of the public that wish to speak.
All right, so I'm going to make a couple of comments sort of out of order also. First, Nick, we certainly do appreciate your service, and we are sorry that you've made the decision to move on, but understand that we all have to grow and move to what is best for ourselves and our families, and we respect that, and we wish you only the best. And certainly thank you for everything you've done for this county. I'm going to report now on the meeting that we had. As you know, you charged the executive committee with two tasks. The first was to make a decision with respect to whether we would engage or recommend engaging an interim executive director. And the second was to determine if we would engage the services of a search firm. And so you've already heard the letter that Commissioner Marino has placed before us. I just wanted to offer my clarification, and certainly any member of the committee who feels that I may either have misstated or not made a complete report as to what happened, I hope that you'll chime in. We first saw three candidates that came before us. Each of the candidates we interviewed, Mr. Euler, Mr. Buchwald, and Ms. Nielsen, and there was a slight difference in each one of them. As you know, Ms. Nielsen is a former employee of this agency. She was seeking either an interim position or a permanent position. Mr. Euler made it clear that if he was going to accept a position, it would be only on an interim basis. And Mr. Buchwald, who is currently a executive director of an MPO north of here, was only interested in being considered at this time for a permanent position. The committee held an interview with each of those individuals. We had a conversation, and at the end of that conversation, the unanimous vote of the committee was to recommend to this body that we engage Ms. Nielsen as the interim executive director. I want to point out for you that there's a difference in engaging Mr. Euler versus Ms. Nielsen. If Mr. Euler was the interim, then we would have the possibility of allowing our current executive director to finish out his time on his letter of resignation. If we engage Ms. Nielsen by virtue of a new employee being brought on and basically being the executive director on an interim basis, we would effectively terminate Mr. Urin's employment with us. That would have no effect on his benefits or his what we will pay out as far as his terminating salary. He is entitled to the full compensation that whether he stays here or we excuse him from the rest of his contract, that won't have any impact on his compensation package. So the recommendation of the committee was that we engage for the interim position, Valerie Nielsen. As the notes say, we did not make a decision on salary. That's going to be something which we can discuss today, or if you want to defer that back to the executive committee, could be handled that way. So that's basically my report. Vice Chair Reed, do you want to amplify or correct anything that I said?
No, I would agree with what you said. One of the things I think about a lot in these moments is public perception. That's what we're here for. We're servants to the public. I've had the pleasure of serving on this board as a citizen on the Citizens Advisory, as well as now as vice chair. And I will tell you, there's been nothing but transparency the entire time. And the leadership under Nick has been something I've done nothing but learn from. And I'm so glad to be here. Looking at it from the outside, though, it I mean, I don't even, what a mess. It was such a mess. I do believe the executive committee did a very good job trying to distill some of the issues into something that we could discern and bring back to the board. I understand the confusion because of Ms. Nielsen's history with the TPA of having left and come back again and taken another position within the city. It's messy. It's really messy. But our job is to plan, prioritize, and fund transportation for our community. So we just need to put our heads down, do the numbers, and move forward so that we can take care of our community. I know you guys read the paper too. How many fatalities have we seen in hit and runs or bike accidents or otherwise? I would love to put this to bed today, fix it, and move on so that we can get back to our jobs. That's what I would like to say.
Thank you. Commissioner McKinley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the board's support on reordering the agenda. You know, I had a alternate attend for me because I was leading the Florida Association of Counties conference last month. And so I missed that special meeting. So I'm catching up on what transpired. And I want to talk about Ms. Nielsen for a moment and her decision to leave the TPA. It wasn't that she left to go work for a private lobbying firm or some consulting firm. She left because there was an opportunity in her hometown to be closer to her family. It quickly didn't transpire because of a change in leadership in that local government up in Alaska, and she returned here. So I don't think she left under any false pretenses. But I'm looking at this. We're in a climate right now where local governments and governmental entities across this country can't hire people. You know, everybody is competing from the same pool of applicants. And here we are with an applicant that has a master's degree in urban and regional planning. And I'm not going to say this just because I'm a Seminole, but it's from one of the best urban and regional planning programs in the nation. She has her master's degree from that, a bachelor's degree in environmental studies. She is fluent in Spanish, which would be a wonderful asset to be able to grow and speak in their language to one of the fastest growing ethnic populations in Palm Beach County. She is an award-winning leader in her field. She's got the leadership experience. She has volunteered and served on planning commissions. She's been a mentor to college students at FAU, which would be a wonderful feeder into trying to get interns into this agency and eventually try to hire them before they can go elsewhere. But also, she has, between her work at the University of Miami on the Bike Safe program, urban health solutions, and working as an urban planning consultant, and her environmental planner experience with ecology and environment, which is a California Tallahassee-based type program. There's an environmental justice component in there. And if you've been paying any attention to what's going on in Washington, that is a very, very relevant conversation. It is one of the priorities of the current administration. I know, having been appointed to the EPA's Local Government Advisory Committee, they created a subcommittee just on environmental justice. And here before us, we have somebody who's already a step ahead. This is not the time to go waste dollars on hiring, you know, wasting taxpayer dollars to go hire a consultant to go out there and do a search when we have the perfect applicant right before us. She lived and breathed transportation planning in Palm Beach County. She can hit the ground running. We don't have to start and teach somebody, you know, that there's agriculture in this county and we've got rural roads. She already knows it all. And I just don't see the need to hire a consultant. I think we've got the applicant before us today. And so with that, I am going to make two motions. The first one would be a motion to employ Ms. Valerie Neeson as the TPA's executive director.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that a little louder? I'm sorry.
A motion, executing a contract to employ Ms. Valerie Neeson as the TPA's executive director.
All right, so we have a motion by Commissioner McKinley, seconded by Commissioner Sachs.
Move for discussion.
over here, Commissioner Schoaf, move for discussion. Is there a full discussion on this item?
Be a full discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, the motion's on the table. There'll be certainly an opportunity to discuss this fully. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just not hearing you. Is that a interim position or is that
no,
full-time?
No, that is hiring her from within today.
Okay, so it'll be the...
Actually, let me clarify that. I guess because we've also got a current executive director, I would also add to that motion a resolution terminating the employment of the current executive director tomorrow at 5 p.m.
All right. So the motion on the table, which has been made by Commissioner McKinley and seconded by Commissioner Sachs, would be to employ Valerie Nielsen as the permanent executive director and effectively terminate the contract of Ms. Urin upon the date that we would then decide what that employment date would be, whether we're going to make it today or whether we're going to make it a date in the future. And I'm assuming that Ms. Nielsen needs to give some notice to her current employer, so we may have to deal with that. So, but that's the motions on the table. Commissioner Sachs, I'll hear from you and then we'll have discussion.
I just want to be sure that, one, that if we terminate Mr. Unruh today, 5 o'clock, that all benefits will continue. And two, I want to make sure that this is a sufficient notice for Valerie to give notice to her present employer. So before I second the motion, maybe we need to have a couple of questions answered first. The first question is, with regard to Nick, if this would be appropriate to terminate his employment today at 5.
Commissioner. I just want to clarify, the motion was by McKinley and the second was for you to open it for discussion, correct?
Well, to open it for discussion, because okay. There was a second motion after the first. The first motion was made by Commissioner McKinley and I seconded it.
Okay.
Second motion was made or was amended by Commissioner McKinley. And I just wanted to, before I guess right now, I second the amended motion as presented.
And just opening it up for discussion.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you.
And now I am discussing it with that caveat to have those two questions answered.
I will defer to Paul just to make a quick comment with respect to Nick's contract and clarifying that his contract calls for him to be compensated fully to the date of that he originally set in his letter of termination.
That's correct. We're under contractual obligation to do that.
So there would be no impact on the compensation package for our current executive director, no matter what we do here today. Okay. Yes. Ms. Nielsen, do you want to respond to the question that's been posed by Commissioner Sachs? And I know you have a comment card, so if you want to take advantage of that at this moment, you certainly may.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Valerie Nielsen. I am thrilled that the TPA Executive Committee voted 5-0 to recommend me as interim director, and I appreciate their support. Leadership is about vision. It's about making tough decisions and inspiring people to work together as a team to move forward. This is a really exciting time for our county. I'm excited to be here. We're experiencing tremendous growth in our communities. Downtown West Palm Beach is flourishing with high rises and Class A office space as people continue to move south and Wall Street continues to move south, bringing higher paying jobs and more affordable and more diverse workforce. This is creating an even greater need for affordable housing and a transportation system that accommodates users of all ages and abilities, regardless of their mode of travel, regardless of their income and or their physical ability. I just want to say that I'm passionate about the TPA, about the TPA's mission and vision of a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. The time is now. We need to move our 561 plan forward. We need to look at our peers in other Florida urban areas and across the country, peers that have implemented safe and efficient transportation systems with safe pedestrian and bicycle facilities, efficient transit such as light rail and bus rapid transit, and other technologies such as autonomous vehicles. I'm looking forward to working with all of you the TPA staff, and our partners to advance this vision. I moved to Palm Beach County 11 years ago, and I've confirmed that this is home.
Ms. Nielsen, could you just respond to the question that Commissioner Sachs has put on the table?
Yes, I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful for your consideration, and I'm excited to be here. In terms of when could I start, I have had discussions with my current employer. When the agenda went out last week, I did talk to my boss. He did request that I put in my resignation, as the agenda said that I could start as soon as next week. I put in that letter that my resignation and that my last day would be next week, Friday on the 24th. So if possible, if the board would like me to start, I would prefer to start on Monday the 27th to be respectful of my employer.
Very good. Thank you for the information. I'm going to give you the privilege of continuing.
Yes, thank you. With that in mind, then I would suggest, let me just, if you don't mind, update my motion a little bit. Let me look at the calendar here. I'll go ahead and let me amend my motion that the termination would be effective on Christmas Eve at Christmas Eve at 5 p.m.
Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. Is that the what? Help me out here. What is that date?
It's
is
a Friday.
All right, you please. This the acoustics here are horrible, and I'm old, so I'm having trouble.
That would mean that Mr. Urin would end on a Friday at 5 p.m. and Ms. Nielsen would start it on Monday.
We just need to check the TPA calendar because I think it's closed on the 24th or the 27th. Just want to.
Correct.
All right. So what we're essentially saying here and incorporating into your motion is that the Mr. Urin's services to the agency would be terminated on the 24th of December, and that the services, if we decide to engage the services of Ms. Nielsen, would begin on the 27th.
Correct.
Okay. Everybody understands the motion that's in front of us. All right. I have a lot of cards up, so I'm going to start from my left in the corner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, as the representative of the city of West Palm Beach, this puts me in somewhat of an awkward position. But I guess it's safe to say that from my perspective, there is no question as to the merits of the candidate. For the same reasons that Commissioner McKinley is touting Ms. Nielsen, is some of the same reasons that we really enjoyed having her working in the CRA in the city of West Palm Beach. Applying to another public agency is never an easy process. You have to declare your wish to pursue another job, which, you know, you wouldn't have to do in the private sector. And so it creates for somewhat of an awkward transition. And for this one, I wish it had been better. I wish there was a bit more communication. A lot of times we found out information by reading your agendas. That being said, I understand some of the nuances that go into this. And I think that Ms. Nielsen would be a fine interim director. I think looking at what the decision you have in front of you today, I guess I would ask for the board's consideration. I don't know if there's issues of having some overlap between directors to transfer that institutional knowledge. I appreciate Ms. Nielsen's willingness to serve out a bit of a tenure to transition from the CRA. And I think you would probably benefit from some institutional knowledge transfer there as well. As far as the second part of the motion of looking at interim versus full-time director, again, no questions as to the merit of Ms. Nielsen. From a general policy perspective, I'm always in favor of looking at a search if you have the time in front of you to go out and look at candidates and have them compare. I certainly think it behooves a board to be able to do that, especially given that even in your short process of looking for an interim director, you had several candidates. So considering all the merits of each candidate, I think is really important in the process. Again, having no question as to the merits of the job that Ms. Nielsen would do, having known this board, to be quite frank, the work that she did on this board was one of the main reasons we were very interested in having her work for the city of West Palm Beach. We certainly appreciate the work that she's done for the CRA thus far. From the city's perspective, we always are in favor of everyone pursuing the best opportunities for them and would not stand in the way of Ms. Nielsen pursuing this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Schoaf. Commissioner Waldron.
Hi, thank you. I attended the executive committee and it was a good discussion. I'll just say that I've been in the corporate world for many years, and succession planning is always very important. And it's by and large left up to the manager, the executive, because the theory is that they know best what's best for their organization. And I think we'll all agree that Nick Uren's done a great job here. And I feel that to not listen to what his thoughtful and planned out succession plan is, and not to kind of adhere to that, is doing a disservice. We're a county that is one of the larger TPAs in the nation, and there's nothing against Valerie Nielsen, and I hope she puts her hat in the ring to the executive search committee, but I think we owe it to ourselves to listen to somebody who has been great at running the TPA and brought us to this level. So I think that we do a disservice to this county and to the organization to kind of subvert that. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Councilman Thompson.
I agree with not nearly everything of what Commissioner McKinley said regarding the qualifications of Ms. Nielsen. She's been fantastic. I've worked with the TPA as an elected official for 3 years and before that as a CAC member, just like Ms. Reed. And I've worked with Valerie for, I guess at that point, 5, 6, 7 years. And she is professional, talented, personable, would do a great job either as an interim or as a permanent executive director. But I am concerned also by the process here. And the process matters. The process last meeting seemed kind of curious. And that was why we had directed the executive committee to go back and to consider who the interim director should be, and also then to choose a search firm, both of which happened. They made those recommendations, and that's what's on the agenda here today. I don't think we can, I'm not comfortable taking the step to just employ Ms. Nielsen as the permanent executive director right now, because that is A, inconsistent with what we had decided at the last meeting, which was we needed to have a search firm conduct a nationwide search. And this Ms. Nielsen will be a very qualified candidate as part of that discussion and deliberation. But I think it's really important that that discussion and deliberation take place with a neutral search party. And I don't see that as a waste of taxpayer dollars. I think the cost is minimal. In fact, I think we'd be having more taxpayer dollars spent displacing Mr. Uren Christmas Eve or whatever day it was, and paying him his salary through the end of January while also paying Ms. Nielsen. So I think we need to go back and consider and keep in mind what we had discussed at the last meeting, which was we're talking about an interim director at the moment only, and we're talking about hiring a search firm. And on that, those are good things for us to focus on at the moment. I don't think I'm in a position where I would be willing to forego the search, which again, we'd all talked about and agreed on for the most part last time, and install an executive director permanently today. I think we need to get back to what is on our agenda, which is again, the process matters, as to who the interim director should be and who the search firm should be. Those are the things that I'm interested in voting on today.
Thank you, Councilman. I'm just going to make 2 points of information, then defer to our counsel. The first piece of information is that if we do engage a search firm, the cost will be about $25,000. The second item of information is, as you'll recall, the position that was vacated by Ms. Nielsen was as deputy director. That position is still open. So it, as a matter of course, there is a salary available for her to be employed as an interim if we kept the numbers within the range of what her former position was. So again, that shouldn't be the reason that you make a decision one way or another, but I just want you to have those facts in front of you. Paul, you wanted to say something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The one thing in talking with Margie and her staff, we'd like to recommend maybe a slight adjustment on the on the dates that have been proposed. And the reason is because of the Christmas holidays and when this office will be closed, it might be a little cleaner to put Nick's termination into effect at 5 p.m. on the 27th. The 27th, this agency will be closed. And then start Ms. Nielsen on the 28th, if that's agreeable to Mr. Uren, Ms. Nielsen, and to the body.
All right. Would you accept that as a, okay, so the motion has been modified to adopt those two dates in there. I see I have three cards from our virtual attendees. So we'll start with Ms. Drucker.
Councilwoman, put her. I'm sorry, I had the wrong one. I have Lanier is first.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ms. Lanier, you are on.
Hi. I just wanted to say I echo the sentiments of West Palm, Boca, and the Port. The process with this actual interim position was not what we discussed at the last meeting. And coming from a city that has a perception, you know, in terms of how it looks, you know, more often than not, it's not a good look. The way that this has been handled, the way that, and I'm sure, you know, I want to preface that, I'm sure that Ms. Nielsen would be more than capable of handling this position. But it's just, it just doesn't look, smell right to me in terms of how this has all happened, how this has all come about. We first heard of Ms. Nielsen at the last meeting, and then it was an interim position, and now it becomes a permanent position. And now, you know, we had a motion, we had a second, we had a motion to that amendment. Now it's a second amendment to that amendment. And it's just something that, you know, we just need to follow the process that we originally agreed upon, that we would get a search firm, the committee would pick a search firm, and then we would move forward with picking the director. And Ms. Nielsen was, you know, more than, you know, welcome to throw a hat in the ring. But the way that this is, you know, kind of laying out is, it's just not a good look. So how it came about, I just think we just need to slow down and do what we said that we were going to do. But I think that, you know, it's just the perceptions are everything. But those are my comments.
Thank you very much for your comments. We're now going to switch over to a participant in the room, Mayor Grant.
Thank you. And I do apologize for my lateness. There's still traffic on the roads.
There is no traffic. We're the TPA.
Yeah. I would want to say that, you know, I come from when I grew up, you know, they always said 2 weeks notice is what the proper amount of time is when your resignation. And so something in the sense is that we have 2 weeks left on the year. If we could, I believe the Friday is the 31st. So I'm okay with what our attorney said, that we terminate Nick's contract on this 27th and have the interim director or executive director on the 28th. And my experience is that, you know, we are trying to decide two things at once, and it's a little bit difficult. And there's nothing that says we can't hire a search firm at our next meeting. That would just mean that Commissioner McKinley would have to say it would be interim executive director. And so that we give Ms. Nielsen the opportunity to be the executive director without having the search firm, so that we feel comfortable. I understand a lot of people don't feel comfortable unless they get all the different applicants and hire a search firm. I'm in the position that, from my experience with Ms. Nielsen, is that after her running the show for a month or so, we have the ability to feel that she is comfortable in the position, or hire a search firm at that time. So that is my position, is that I don't feel that there needs to be a rush to hire a search firm today if we're appointing a executive director or interim executive director. I think that's something where you know, we're trying to decide two things at once. So those are my points.
Okay, Mayor Grant, I just want to clarify that the motion that's on the table is for the hiring of a permanent executive director. Unless there's a substitute motion to that, we are dealing with a motion which may be voted up or down to make this a permanent position, not an interim position.
I understand. And so that would probably come with a year contract, if I'm not mistaken. I'll ask our attorney.
Paul.
That's a good question. We don't have in the agenda package the contract for the permanent executive director, and I think we need to negotiate those terms.
And that's my position, is that the executive committee would need to negotiate the terms for a permanent executive director.
All right, I'm going to leave that conversation there. We're going to go to Commissioner McVoy.
Unmute. Can you hear me? I'm not sure that my technology.
Yes, we have you.
Okay, thank you. I would tend to follow a fair amount of the comments from Mr. Thompson, that my interactions, while much shorter with Ms. Nielsen, have also been very positive. Certainly her qualifications are very strong. But I have a definite level of discomfort with, for an organization of this prominence in terms of budget importance, size of the county, so scope, of not doing a national level search. I agree with some of the other comments that have been made that the look is not very good, and I don't think it's procedurally a very good way to go. As everyone has noted, if we do a national search, there's absolutely no reason that Ms. Nielsen, as interim director, could not put in her application along with all the others, and would have the advantage of all of the experience and, you know, incumbent advantage, so to speak. But I think I think the comments that have been made, that what we understood at the last meeting was the executive committee was going to make a recommendation for an interim director and a recommendation for a search committee. And I do have a discomfort level that we seem to have slid off of what was posted on the agenda to a very different process of suddenly appointing a permanent director with, as we just heard from the attorney, unclarity of, well, is that a year contract? Is that an indefinite contract? Permanent typically means permanent, indefinite. And so I am not comfortable with the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner McVoy. We appreciate that. Commissioner McKinley, I'll allow you to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just am going on reality, and I look at, you know, our Palm Beach County attorney, we ended up hiring within, our Palm Beach County administrator, we ended up hiring within the city of West Palm Beach, reached next door to our county building, and that's where they found their city manager. Listen to my colleagues and my National Association of Counties Board of Directors struggling with hiring decisions. They're usually ending up hiring within. Just seems that we could have expedited this process when we have a qualified candidate. But I'm hearing the conversation. I'm going to withdraw my emotion. I'm going to withdraw my motion, and I'm going to make a new motion, if that's okay with my colleague who seconded my motion.
Commissioner Sachs, you would have no problem with that. Okay.
Okay.
So the motion is off the table. We'll have a new motion, which is?
Okay. So the motion is a resolution terminating the employment of the TPA's current executive director effective 5 p.m. December 27th and executing a contract to employ Ms. Valerie Nielsen as the TPA's interim executive director effective 8 a.m. on December 28th.
And do I have a second to that? Okay. We have a second. So everybody understands now we have taken off the table a permanent employment of Ms. Nielsen. The motion on the table would be to offer her an interim position effective the 28th, which would effectively terminate our current executive director on 5 p.m., having no impact at all on the compensation that he is due under his contract. Councilman Napoleone, did you take your flag down because you were happy?
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind allowing me to add an extra comment, I would, and I'll make a motion on the next agenda item too, but my thought process would be to give her 60 days or so leading up to our February 17th, 2022 agenda before we hire a search firm, but I'll save that conversation for the next agenda
item. Let's not muddy this up too much. All right. Mayor Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's unfortunate you changed the motion before I had a chance to comment because I wanted to provide a context and a perspective. I spent 20 years on Wall Street and I work with so many national search firms. And at the end of the day, what we learned and what I've learned is when you have the right people already available and in place, you should do what you can to retain that talent, that capability. Now, the context I'm concerned about is where we are right now in this juncture in our journey as a TPA. We've got some critical issues before us. One being, you know, can we move forward and convince the county commissioners to put on the ballot a transportation penny tax fee? But there's so much work to be done to get that endeavor really happening. I'm concerned about the having discontinuity going on with the oversight and management of the TPA team. I'm concerned about the people working in the TPA team kind of feeling like they're in limbo. You know, you got a temporary here, they're out looking for, you know, a national search firm. And I got to tell you, national searches are not what they're cracked up to be. That has been my experience. My experience has been is that if, you know, we have a confluence of some interesting situation here. Forgetting about, you know, this, how's it look and how does it smell? Because I think the discussions, although we may not have agreed with some of the things that have happened in the process that was taken, it was discussed here in the open with this board to mediate and address. Therefore, discussed in front of the public. I think the circumstances that occurred with Ms. Nielsen moving on to another opportunity and that not working and happened to be you know, able to come back gives us an opportunity to keep the momentum that we've established with the TPA moving forward. She has the forget about, she's got definitely the qualifications. I would put her qualifications up against anyone I think that would walk through the door on a national search. But the real concern for me is she has the institutional knowledge. I've worked with Valerie for many years and she's a very capable person. She's a fast learner and she's open to, you know, understanding different approaches to get things done, to get the right outcomes that we want to get. So to me right now, I think what we need to focus on is the not having this whole situation with our staff on the TPA in limbo, because I think we may wind up losing more talented people if that continues. I know I've experienced that many years when you have this kind of turbulence in an organization, your top people will decide, you know what, I'm not staying around for this. I'm going to move on and, you know, worry about my own career someplace else. So I wanted to offer that context and perspective about the rationale that was originally presented for saying, look, let's forego this national search. Let's put her in place. And I would suggest, since a contract would have to be negotiated, you can negotiate a 2-year or 3-year contract, which gives the board another look at that point in time if there's not satisfaction with the overall performance of the organization. So I just wanted to share that as a context to consider. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. Normally, I would wait until all the comments are made. I hate being chair because it puts you at the end of the line. So if you will allow me just to insert myself a little bit at this point. I personally was a proponent of not having a search, but I think as I've listened to the conversation, I think it's important that we have these conversations. I think transparency is important in the process. And I think that I will be swayed by the conversation I've heard before me today and agree to the motion that Commissioner McKinley has put on the table, at least with respect to the interim position rather than a permanent position. And then we can have a second debate and discussion whether we need to engage a firm today or whether we can put that off for a period of time. But that's just my personal view. And let's continue with our discussion. I have three cards up from our virtual attendees, so I'm going to grab one of them right now. I see Councilman Peduzzi has been waiting very patiently. You are up.
Thank you. Hopefully you can hear me. I certainly agree with the comments made by many of my colleagues with regard to the appointment today of a permanent executive director. But I do believe that Ms. Nielsen is an excellent candidate. She's certainly well qualified. And I respect the executive committee's recommendation to appoint her as interim executive director. But at the same time, I think that, well, it'll give us time, an engagement period, if you will, to gauge whether she's a good fit with the organization. And then we can make a decision at a later date as to whether to move forward with a national search or employing a search firm, or if we want to look internally for the appointment of the permanent executive director. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. And I'm going to go to now to Council Member Drucker.
Mr. Chair, so I guess my question is, and I don't discount that Ms. Nielsen was very qualified for this position, and I agree with a lot that's been said this morning. My question is, and it's really for Ms. Valerie and for this body of us, so we go out and research. What happens if we find another interim director? What happens to Ms. Nielsen as the interim director? Does she stay on in another position? Does she leave the TPA? Does that leave her without a job? I guess that would be my question. If, you know, will it happen? It's more a question for Ms. Dewson if she's willing to go through that process, because we're offering her an interim position. So now we're going to go out to this national search. We might find a candidate. We don't know that. So what would happen in that scenario? I'm just kind of thinking we have an amazing candidate here, and then we're going out for a search, and then she's leaving her West Palm Beach, you know, constituent and job. So what would happen in that, you know, what happens? Does she just automatically take the deputy, I forget the exact title? So that's more of looking forward. But in terms of transparency, I do agree with the interim, because that's what we told the residents. That's what we discussed that at length the last meeting. But I'm just more... just curious as to what would happen if we find another candidate that fills that position.
Okay, just for a point of information, the position that we would be offering Ms. Nielsen is interim. The position that we would be searching for is full-time. Ms. Nielsen would understand if she accepted the position offered to her that it is not with any guarantee that she would be the full-time executive director. She would be invited to apply along with everybody else that the search firm brought to us, and ultimately would make a decision if the TPA made the decision to go with an alternate candidate. We would have two alternatives. One would be to offer her another position within the TPA, which there are other positions available. Two would be to thank her for her service and dismiss her. But that would have nothing to do with respect to what our decision would be as far as a full-time person. I hope that answers your question. Okay. I'm going to make sure I'm getting everybody at least the first time around. I think, Commissioner Bernard, you are first time around. It's your turn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My suggestion would be I do support the interim position, but I would support for the interim position to be a much longer term. So in that way, we can decide for it to be 6 months or a year, and for us to see how it's working. And then, you know, we can reassess Ms. Nielsen at a later date. So now we don't have to do a national search. So I just don't think that we need to do this national search, but we need to provide her the opportunity to grow in the position and to learn, and then for us to reassess it either 6 months or a year later. But that's my comment.
So thank you, Commissioner. And Commissioner McKinley has telegraphed her intention to have another motion to address that. So we'll have a further discussion with respect to what interim might look like if the motion on the table does pass. All right. I see my vice chair took her sign down. All right. I'm going to go to Commissioner or Councilman Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate Commissioner McKinley, your decision to withdraw. I think that's the right move. I think the process really does matter, as I've said. So I think one concern I have is, and I think I tend to come down on this the same way as Commissioner Marino, which is, I think in her letter, she recommended having an interim be put in at the end of Mr. Uren's contract. We're already paying him through the end of January. I think we should get the benefit of that. Rather than just cutting him loose and continuing to pay them, we should get the benefit of his services. And then we can have the interim start then. I'm not in favor of pushing back the hiring of a national search firm. I think that's an important part of this process. I think it's critical, in fact, that we have an understanding of what's available to us. There's no doubt that Ms. Nielsen is quite qualified. I think we've all agreed on that. I think we can all accept that. But it's important to know what the options are all across the board. And I think this is a small price to pay to accomplish that. So I would recommend that we, and I know a motion is coming on this, but I would recommend that we move forward with the search firm, that we allow Ms. Nielsen to start in the job. And by being in the interim role, I think we all recognize that that would operate as a leg up on the competition. And that's fair, and that's the way it should be. But I don't think that we need to dispense with the search firm as a result. So I'm ready to vote on the interim director role, and then we can move on to the search firm discussion.
Thank you. I'm going to now call on Mr. McVoy. Commissioner McVoy, you are recognized.
Well, you would think that even though I'm remote, that Commissioner Thompson is in direct communication with me, but we're not. But I very much agree with the point that he made. I think it's important to move forward with the search at this point, not leave that as a later thing. Let's for all the same reasons that were mentioned, I think that is important. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, I have more cards up. I really think that we're all sort of going down the same path as far as the interim director. I think there is some discussion as far as whether we want to engage a search now or later. I am, with the permission of this body, going to call the question. I know you have your card up. So if you will allow the chair to call, we'll the, call question, the question as far as the vote. Well, I'd like to
have when the question is called, point of order, debate immediately ceases. There has to be a 2/3 vote on to approve calling the question.
So I'll call the question.
I'll second.
Okay, the question is on the table, and the question is very simply, do we...
No, Mr. Mayor, you have to vote on whether...
Oh, we have to vote on calling the question. All right, then, all in favor of calling the question and terminating debate, we'll have a roll call.
You'll bear with me. My notes are a bit of a mess. Okay, so Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker?
Yes.
Andy Thompson?
No.
Stephen Grant?
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia? Joel Flores? Jim Koretsky is absent. Christopher McVoy?
No.
Joni Brinkman?
Yes.
Catherine Waldron?
Yes.
Thank you. Melissa McKinley?
Yes.
Mac Bernard?
No.
Maria Sachs?
No.
Greg Weiss?
Yes.
Shirley Lanier?
No.
Fred Pinto?
No.
Michael Napoleon?
Yes.
Kelly Shove?
No.
Joseph Peduzzi?
No.
Chelsea Reed?
No.
Robert Weinroth?
Yes.
Fails.
I think it failed.
Fails.
It failed. All right, we will continue our discussion. Commissioner Sachs, you
Thank
are
you.
Recognized.
Thank you very much.
Certainly.
Shouldn't the discussion be limited to the motion that's on the table?
I would hope that we would stay focused on the engagement of an interim director and leave the issue of the search firm on the table for the next motion if it does get put on the table.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Vice Mayor Weiss. Commissioner Sachs, you are recognized.
And the yes, process is important, but so are we as stewards of taxpayers' money. And I agree this is also a business decision. I agree with Mayor Pinto and with Commissioner Bernard. Let's look at this in a businesslike fashion for the good of the taxpayers' money. I agree that we should, on the motion that is under discussion now, that we should retain a good applicant who has all the qualifications presented, which is Valerie at this time, for at least 6 months, as discussed earlier by Commissioner Bernard. And then we'll re-examine whether we should spend $25,000 on a search committee. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. So our chair stepped aside, so I'll be taking care of the meeting for a moment. I'd like to call on our lawyer, Paul.
Yeah, just two things to assist you in moving forward with this. If this motion passes, I'm going to recommend to you that the next motion doesn't deal with a search firm. It needs to deal with Ms. Nielsen's salary. With regard to her term of employment, I think we've already got great flexibility. If you look at the contract that's in your package, the term of hiring her would be for a term until a new permanent director is hired. So if this body decided that's 6 months or 1 month or a year, whatever it may be, you all will have complete control over determining what the term would be based on future events. So that may be helpful to you. But if this motion does pass, I think the next issue that you want to address is salary and then actually approving the resolution that's before you, that's in your package.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Did you want to be recognized? Mayor.
Good morning, everyone. I sat on the executive committee and we had a good deliberation on the steps that we wanted to propose here today. I'm very proud of the work that we were able to get accomplished. And I firmly believe that going through the process is probably the best thing, especially for the public. I want to put Nick here on the spot, and I apologize, Nick. I really don't want to do this, but we do have a deputy director position still open. You're hearing some of the feedback from this board and the wishes of this board. Would you reconsider bringing Valerie back as the deputy director, and then we can name her interim? So once again, the question is, would you reconsider bringing Valerie on a permanent position as deputy director, and then that we can name her the interim?
Mayor, I think that is a difficult question to pose to Mr. Nguyen.
It's unfair.
Right now.
Okay, I understand.
I don't think that really.
I am trying, and I apologize. I know it's an awkward position to put you, Nick, and Valerie as well. I guess I'm trying to find a happy medium here. I'm looking at it from Valerie's standpoint. I think a point was made here. You're making a transition from one institution to another without having security, and that's tough on anyone. So I am in favor of having Valerie be the interim. We went through the process. We saw glaring reviews from Nick on her previous two evaluations. I think she would do a phenomenal job at leading us forward. I would like to, and I know this is, we're going on what's happening next, but I would like to give her some enough time for her to make a transition and be at the interim position for a while before moving forward with a search committee. Although I am in favor of going out, I firmly believe that Valerie will be the leading candidate. I think she has the institutional knowledge. She is local. She knows what's happening. Her fingerprints are all over the plants here at the EPA. So I'm in favor. I want to make sure that Valerie's also, she's a human being, and for her to come on board with very little time to be at the helm, and then, if we make a different decision, then I want to make sure that we also take care of the person, Valerie.
Thank you, Mayor Flores. Commissioner Weiss, Vice Mayor Weiss.
Thank you. I was supportive of the original motion. I am supportive of the motion that's on the table as the interim. I think, and just to follow up, I think as to our attorney's recommendation, I would suggest that after this, the next thing we take up is to send this to the executive committee to address the salary. I don't think this is the appropriate venue to do that. The executive committee can meet, do that, and we can call a special meeting to bring it to the full board.
Very good. Thank you, Vice Mayor. All right. I see no more cards up. Do you have anything from our virtual attendees? All right. So question on the table is, do we offer Valerie Nielsen an interim position with this agency effective December 27th at 8 a.m., effectively terminating the current executive director's contract or employment with our agency as of the 24th at 5 p.m.
Wait,
yes.
Point of order. So I'm sorry. I pulled it up on the screen as I understood it.
I'm going to read it then, and if anybody has any problems. Motion to adopt a resolution terminating employment of TPA's current executive director, effective 12/27, and executing a contract to employ Valerie Nielsen as the TPA's interim director, effective 12/28. That is the motion on the table. It's been seconded. We are now going to have a roll call to figure out if this is where we're going.
I'm going to help if I turn my mic on. Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker?
Yes.
Andy Thompson?
Yes.
Stephen Grant?
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia? She hasn't joined the meeting, so I'll mark her as absent. Joelle Flores?
Yes.
I have you as yes, Joelle. Jim Kretzky is absent. Christopher McVoy?
Yes.
Joni Brinkman?
Yes.
Catherine Waldron?
No.
Melissa McKinley?
Yes.
Mac Bernard?
Yes.
Maria Sachs?
Yes.
Greg Weiss?
Yes.
Shirley Lanier?
No.
Fred Pinto?
Yes.
Michael Napoleon?
Yes.
Kelly Schoaf?
Yes.
Joseph Peduzzi?
Yes.
Chelsea Reed?
Yes.
Robert Weinroth?
Yes.
It passes with two opposed.
Okay. I'm going to look for someone to make a motion to give direction to the executive committee to negotiate a contract with the Ms. Nielsen.
I'm going to make the motion to put Ms. Nielsen at the current salary for the executive director, because she's taken on that position, and so I believe she deserves that amount.
All right. I have a motion by Mayor Grant to make the contract the compensation at the same rate as the incumbent.
I'll second that motion, and the reason is she's taking on a whole lot of risk with no guarantee that this would be a permanent position, and she should be compensated as such for the activities of serving as an interim director. And I do think it's appropriate for us to move forward today and not send this back to the committee, because approving the contract was part of the agenda today.
All right. I just want to clarify, Mayor, there are portions of the compensation for the incumbent that are deferred, and there are several elements to this compensation. Are we talking about just the base salary, or are you talking about what exactly is on the table?
So I will state the base salary, and I don't necessarily have the other numbers in front of me right now, so I can't tell you what all those right. are.
All right. So the motion on the table is to offer the interim director the base salary of the incumbent, and the question now is the duration.
I don't think we have to do the duration because it's in the contract. Terminating contract is when we decide. So I'm going to let our attorney answer any questions.
Paul?
I think that's in the next agenda item.
If you look at section one in the contract, it'll be effective on the 28th of December, and it continues until you hire a new permanent executive director. And so
it's open-ended.
It's open-ended, except that this body has complete control over the term. You could make it 1 month, or you could make it a year, and you can decide all that in the future. I think for clarity, and I realize this is probably a little uncomfortable for some people, but for clarity, just so we know what we're voting on, I think we should specify the amount of the salary. And I think the other thing too is I would like to ask the movement, is this including approving the contract and the resolution that's in the package?
So I guess the question that I'll ask our executive director is, what are your compensations as executive director?
Base salary,
and then any additional deferment as well, expenses.
Clarity.
I really don't want to be going through this, but
just so you know, the contract is specific to the base salary. Merit increases if this board were to approve them, so that's at our discretion. The deferred income in this contract is, given that the position is a temporary position, there shall be no deferred income. Correct. Benefits, the interim director shall be entitled to all benefits accruing to TPA employees pursuant to the TPA's personnel handbook as amended from time to time, except to the extent modified by this agreement. And so it's already addressed in here what that would be. So I seconded based on just the base salary is the number we need to approve.
All right, today. For full transparency, let's have the number.
I don't know what it is.
All right, we're...
May I? Yeah, so I pulled this from, this is a comparison of large Florida MPO director compensation levels. I'm happy to submit this if necessary, but when we passed it, oh my gosh, was it April of last year? Okay, it was proposed for Nick Uren as of May 13th, after 6.3 years in the job at that time, to receive $175,000 per year. The merit increases were COLA, annual raise and or bonus by board. The retirement plan was an FRS senior management level. The additional deferred comp was $12,500 a year. The car allowance was none. The phone allowance was none. And severance required was 90 days.
All right. So for clarity, the contract that we would be negotiating with the interim would be for $175,000 per year. Are we all understanding the numbers that are on the table? Okay, Vice Mayor Weiss, you would like to be recognized.
Yeah, I'd like to make a substitute motion to send this to the executive committee and have the executive committee negotiate this with Ms. Nielsen.
A substitute motion been seconded by who?
Me, Catherine.
Commissioner Waldron has made a motion to substitute the motion so that the compensation and contract will be negotiated by the executive committee. I have Councilman Napoleon next.
My first question is, in our packet, it says the current range of the executive director position is 135,307 to 237,897. I want to know what that means. What does that mean, the current range?
That's the range for the position.
That's the market number for this position. Is that what that
is? Can I have clarification from our CFO?
Good morning, Matthew Kamba. I'm the CFO for the Palm Beach TPA. That is the base pay number. and then negotiated separately would be the deferred compensation, which is what we have done. We negotiated separately with our with Nick for the deferred compensation. So the number that you're seeing in the packet, that is a range of base compensation.
If we were to offer the position out, that would be the range we would be putting it in. Because I'm trying, he said his base compensation was, well, he didn't know his base compensation. We were told his base compensation was 175. So is his, that, this is 135 to 237. I'm still not sure what this range.
The incumbent salary.
Correct.
Base is 175. The range on the position is 135 to 237.
And does that include the raise that we gave last year too?
No, his base salary at this point in time is 201,975. And his deferred compensation is $13,750 per year.
So is the motion still to set the base salary from Ms. Nielsen's interim contract $175,000?
The motion on the table right now is to defer to the executive committee to make that negotiation between the interim and the TPA board.
And I'll save the comments when we get back to the other one.
Okay, I'm going to call on Ms. Schoaf and then Commissioner McKinley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think as I look at this process, I'm supportive of the substitute motion. In making the first motion, we're making it based upon effect. We don't even know the number is. So, and really what the base number of the current executive director, respectfully, has nothing to do with what the base salary of the interim director should be. She has her own merits, her own qualifications. It could be more than $175,000. It should not be based upon what today is. It should be based upon the individual characteristics of the applicant. It deserves more of a conversation than setting it here today. So I'm certainly in favor of it going to executive committee and allowing some advocacy on Ms. Nielsen's part to tout the benefits and the qualifications that she has that merits whatever salary fits within the range that's been set here. So those are my comments.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Commissioner McKinley, you're recognized.
I won't be voting on the substitute motion. Our action item before us today was to adopt the attached draft resolution. The board must select a start date and a salary. We just selected the start date. We're simply talking about the salary. To kick this back to the executive committee before a start date that we just approved at 8 a.m. on December 28th. I think all of us in this room are very capable of making this decision ourselves and not having to go to the executive committee and negotiating a contract. It's an interim. We already selected the date. Our agenda today included us selecting a salary. We all knew we were coming in here today to select a salary. Let's move forward on it. Commissioner Grant, if you are amenable, I would be okay to that base salary being $175,000 as Commissioner Councilwoman Chelsea, as she read earlier in the record, but I will not be supporting this substitute motion.
Commissioner McKinley, you know, we have one more bite at the apple on substitute motions. Do you want to make another substitute motion?
No, I'm just voting this one down.
Are you going to vote against the substitute motion on the table? Okay. Mayor Grant.
Thank you. The problem with the executive committee is that they cannot agree to the salary. And so that means we wouldn't have interim executive director salary till February 17th.
This body could always give the power to the executive committee to make that decision.
And that's a scary thing when we start giving the executive committee the power to choose the numbers for the board. They should make the recommendations, not necessarily choose the salary. And so the number that I have was requested was $175,000. And I'd like to ask Ms. Nielsen if that is an acceptable amount, because if she says no, we're in another situation.
My same exact point. What happens if the candidate does not accept? Then what happens?
Ms. Nielsen, come on up. This board appears ready to engage your services as interim director at a base salary of $175,000. Would that be a number that would be acceptable to you?
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your support and your motion to appoint me as interim. As interim director, I know that the average of our peers is a lot higher than that, and I appreciate Commissioner Schoaf's motion to discuss this further, but I am acceptable to that rate, and I hope to be able to do a great job and to make the case for the permanent position and later discuss and compare with our peers of what the qualifications and the final rate may be. I appreciate all of your support.
We'll accept that as a yes. Okay, Ms. Schoaf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I certainly accept that this is an awkward process. I think even giving the amenable nature of the candidate in question, there still is further discussion that should be had as to salary and qualifications. So still in support of this going back. If there's a special session that needs to be called, certainly we can be there to Mayor Grant's point as a board to make that decision. But I think this is a really important decision. I respect Commissioner McKinley's comments as well, looking at what's on the agenda today, but these are important decisions that shouldn't be made sitting around the table having candidates have to come up and make a decision on their livelihood on a dime. So certainly still supportive of the substitute motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Schoaf. All right, so let's just, and Paul, I'll get you in a half a second. I have Commissioner Waldron who wants to speak. And then we remember the motion that's on the table at this moment is to send it back to the executive committee. We haven't given the executive committee any authority to engage in that contract. If there is a motion to substitute for the substitute motion, the chair will accept that motion. Commissioner Waldron, do you still want to be recognized?
Just real quick, I just want to say I agree with the City Commissioner Schoaf. I think that usually salary negotiations are just that, negotiations. They need to be well thought out, and you need to consider who the person is and their qualifications. So I think we need to put a little bit more thought into this. Thank you.
Mayor Grant.
I'll do a substitute to the substitute, and that request the executive committee look at a merit increase according to the contract that we already agreed to. So that way it does come back to the board, and that we do have a starting salary for the interim executive director so that they can start on December 28th.
Mayor, I'm going to ask you to clean up that motion and just make it a offer of employment at $175,000 and leave everything else off of it.
I will state that an offer of $175,000 and for the executive committee to look at a merit increase based upon her qualifications.
Okay. I'm not sure how that works into the motion. I'm not seeing a second, so maybe you want to clean it up so you can get a second.
And Mr. Mayor, I'll go ahead and make a substitute motion back to the original motion that as of 8 a.m. December 28th, we hire Ms. Valerie Nielsen as the interim executive director at a salary of $175,000 and effective with all of the other employment agreements as presented to us in item 2A2 in the proposed contract.
Second.
I have a second by Mayor Flores. Seeing no further discussion, no cards up, let's have a vote. Roll call, please.
Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker.
Yes.
Andy Thompson.
Yes.
Stephen Grant.
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia, should be marked as absent. Joel Flores.
Yes.
Jim Koretsky is absent. Christopher McVoy.
Yes.
Joni Brinkman.
Yes.
Catherine Waldron. I'm sorry, yeah. I had a no, thank you. Melissa McKinley.
Yes.
Mac Bernard.
Yes.
Maria Sachs.
Yes.
Greg Weiss.
Yes.
Shirley Lanier.
No.
Fred Pinto?
Yes.
Michael Napoleone?
No.
No? Thank you. Kelly Schoaf? No. Joseph Paduzzi?
Yes.
Chelsea Reed?
Yes.
Robert Weinroth?
Yes.
It passes with, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 opposed.
Congratulations, Ms. Nielsen. We will be contacting you to sign a contract, and we welcome you as our interim director of the Transportation Planning Agency. Okay, now let's go to a non-controversial item, our calendar.
Actually, not so fast.
It's not the...
What are we? Oh,
Mr. Chairman, we
that's reordered. Right. We do have a small item about a search firm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to table the conversation on the search selection committee to March 17th, 2022.
Second.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, I'm sorry.
All right, so just that's for clarification, because it was done really quickly. Commissioner McKinley, who had moved the to consent item off of consent before G3, has now made a motion that this be tabled until March 17th, 2022. And effectively, we would not be engaging a firm to do a search until March 2022. That's the motion on table. Commissioner McKinley made the motion. I didn't hear this. Who gave the second?
I second.
I have a second by Mayor Pinto. Will now be discussion. Vice Mayor.
I know we moved this past item off consent and put it in front. Did we also put this one in front? Consent agenda?
We approved the consent agenda, didn't we?
Yeah, so to my understanding, we pulled 1G3, which is a contract with Slavin for the recruitment firm, to be heard after action item 2A, which we've dispatched with. So now the motion on the floor is in regards to consent agenda item 1G3.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so to just clarify, what we're basically saying now is that we are going to defer the discussion as far as engaging a executive recruiting firm or whatever you want to call it until March, and then we can reopen this discussion. Commissioner McKinley, did you want to talk about the motion that you have on the table? Or let's see, Robert's rules. What do we do with a motion table? Do we discuss it or we just move on?
I should know that.
To table, which is not debatable. An alternative would be a motion to continue discussion until the March meeting, and that would be debatable.
We have a motion table.
I don't want to limit members' conversation on this topic, so now I'll go ahead and make a motion for continuance.
Okay, we have a motion for continuance, and so we have some discussion on this, and I see my friend Councilman Thompson.
For all the reasons we outlined last meeting, I think it's important that we move on with we directed the search committee or the executive committee to find ourselves a search firm, which they did. We have a contract with them ready for us to be approved today. I think we do that. It was on the consent agenda, probably for a reason. I know I got pulled off, but this is not something I think that merits any further delay. I think it's time to get this search firm on board, have the search conducted, and then we can, you know, move on, as the saying goes. But I think we need to approve this today. So I'm not going to be in favor of continuing it.
Thank you, Councilman. Commissioner Waldron.
I just want to echo what he just said, and I think also we have to take into account that executive search firms, they take many weeks to find candidates. So we delay hiring one till March. You're talking about the summer before we really get any probably qualified candidates in front of us. So I'm not in favor of that delay.
Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
Point of order. If the motion on the table is to continue, would it not make sense to vote on the continuance? And if the motion is voted down, then there would be a motion and a second, a debate, or the motion to continue.
Commissioner, the chair is willing to allow discussion on this so that anybody sitting here can hear what their colleagues are thinking and have a vote. Not being a motion to table, it's still something we can discuss.
Yes, sir.
Vice Mayor Reed.
Thank you so much. So I'm not an accountant, but I did some chicken scratch here. Ms. Nielsen's previous position was $130,000, which has been open since July. So that's about $10,000 a month. So it's been open. So we've not paid out about $40,000 or $50,000 because of that job opening. It's $24,000 to hire Slavin. We have to pay out Nick Uren $14,500 if he stops working as of the 27th. So in the end, if you do that math, and I'm happy to try again, but that would be about $50,000 that we're spending minus the 40-ish that we haven't spent on Ms. Nielsen's previous position. So we'll be spending $10,000 to validate that Ms. Nielsen is the right person. We do need to look. We do need to look. I think it's transparency. I think it's what's appropriate. I think it's what our residents want. We also are in a position where we could find someone who has developed rail before. We could find someone who's done a fully connected bike path. Ms. Nielsen could be that person. However, it behooves us to look and make sure that we're making the right decision. Right now is a really delicate time. We need a tremendous amount of leadership. We need a tremendous amount of strength going forward. We're trying to bring mass transit opportunities to our area while we're managing disagreements between ourselves. So this needs to be properly vetted so that we are either validating the decision we made or reconsidering going forward.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to go to one of our virtual attendees. Councilwoman Lanier, you are recognized.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to say, echo the same thing. I think that we should move forward with the search committee. You know, we kind of disregard it. The current director put together a succession plan to be followed by the board. It was kind of ignored, but to have a search firm to make the right decision in terms of who would be the permanent director, because if you put this off for 6 months, you might as well make the Ms. Nielsen the director and forego all of that. The purpose of a search director was to make sure that the interim person, which was in the succession by the current director, said that, you know, there would be someone on staff there to take the job until a search firm could be chosen to have a permanent director. And that was to be done before Mr. Uren left. And it's not that way anymore, but to put it off for 6 months is just basically to make Mrs. Nielsen the director. And if that's what the board wants to do, then that's what they should do. If you're not going to put it off, it needs to be done immediately to be able to move forward with the search for that position.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Napoleone, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not support putting off the hiring of a search firm. We discussed this at the executive committee meeting, and we made it very clear to Ms. Nielsen at the time that if she wants the interim position, she's assuming the risk that she might not get the permanent position. And she was fully aware of that and still wanted to come on board as the interim director if we would agree to hire her. I think it's important for this board, for its staff, and for our community to make sure that we ensure that we do all we can to find the best position for this job, which may very well wind up being Ms. Nielsen. We don't know that yet. I think the smart, prudent move is to engage the search firm, get a full view of candidates, and then make an informed decision, and not to wait until the March meeting to then hire a search firm, which means we wouldn't even be making a decision on a new director until sometime over the summer at the earliest. So I don't support this motion. I support what the executive committee recommended, which is we've already done half of it. We've made Ms. Nielsen the interim, and I think we should engage the search firm today to have them start looking to make sure we get the best person in place as soon as possible.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, Commissioner McVoy.
Yes, I think I agree with what I've heard that we should move forward immediately with hiring the search firm and get the search going. I would, and I think it's the professional thing to do to and to communicate transparency, to communicate our efforts as the board that we want to examine what the market has to offer and get the best person available, which, as we've all mentioned, may be Ms. Nielsen. I would add an additional one that, in a sense, I think it's in Ms. Nielsen or whoever was in the interim position, it's in their interest to actually go through the process and be recognized, okay, you know, for all whatever reasons happened during the search, you're the best person for it. I think that creates the strongest stability for staff and for the community. It's in our interest as the board, it's in the community interest, and I think it's in the interim director's interest to move forward quickly with the process.
Thank you for your comments. Commissioner McKinley.
Yeah, thank you. The reason I selected the March 20th or 17th date was just to give us two meetings. We don't have a meeting in January, but I'll make a happy compromise and move that back to February 17th if Mayor Pinto is amenable to seconding that revised motion.
Yes.
And then I would just add on the comment after hearing this, I don't agree that our current executive director has done a damn thing to implement a succession plan, as proven as the absolute disaster that we are sitting in here right now, that he can't even be sitting in here to engage in this conversation, and the absolute embarrassment that when asked what his base salary was, he declined to answer. I think it's childish. I'm disappointed, and I don't take any of his recommendations with an ounce of salt. Thank you.
Commissioner Peduzzi, you are recognized.
Thank you. I agree with my colleagues that we should probably proceed with the national search. I think it gives credibility to the process. And ultimately, if Ms. Nielsen is found to be the best fit, that it gives credibility to her ultimate, you know, permanent employment as our executive director.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Schoaf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too am in favor of engaging a search firm as soon as possible. You know, we talk about the cost to taxpayers here, and some of those are self-inflicted by this board. We could have chosen to keep on the current director to the end of his tenure and then hire an interim director. That was not the will of this board, and that's okay. We voted to move in that direction. To Mayor Pinto's earlier point, we're looking for some consistency and to settle this question for the staff. And so I think it's important to move in that direction. And thirdly, I think it's important to define what a national search is, because a national search means looking at all of our very talented municipalities. It means looking within the county, and it looks to certainly outside of the state and other areas. You know, I think we've gone about this conversation, and while certainly Ms. Nielsen was an internal candidate to this agency at one point, she is an external candidate as well. She comes from the city of West Palm Beach. So we found that talent in another agency within this county. So I think it behooves us to be able to consider all of the very talented individuals. No discount to Ms. Nielsen, who certainly I have a high respect for in regard to her profession, but we really do need to get this moving so that way we can call the final question for this agency. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I don't see any more cards either virtually or in person. So just to clarify, rather than the original motion that was put before us, we have a substitute motion which would defer the approval of an agreement. Essentially, the recommendation of the executive committee was Slavin, but it would defer that decision until February 17th, at which time then we would take this back up. Commissioner McKinley made the motion. Mayor Pinto has made the second. I will call a roll call.
So
defer the engagement of a search firm until February 17th.
Okay, so Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker?
No.
I have no. Andy Thompson?
No.
Stephen Grant?
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia has not joined us. She will be marked as absent. Joel Flores?
Yes.
Jim Koretsky is absent. Christopher McVoy?
No.
Joni Brinkman?
No.
Catherine Waldron?
No.
Melissa McKinley? I have yes. Mac Bernard?
Yes.
Maria Sachs?
Yes.
Greg Weiss?
No.
Shirley Lanier?
No.
Fred Pinto?
Yes.
Michael Napoleon?
No.
Kelly Schoaf?
No.
Joseph Peduzzi?
No.
Chelsea Reed?
No.
Robert Weinroth?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, it fails 11 to 7.
Okay, so we're going back to the original item that was on the agenda. And the item is approval of the attached agreement with Slavin Management Consultants to administer the process of selecting a new executive director in the amount not to exceed $24,094.75. The purchase was recommended unanimously to the TPA executive by the executive committee. Note that this purchase is not subject to our competitive purchasing processes pursuant to Section 4A of the TPA's procurement policy, and the draft agreement has been submitted to the full board. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, I'm giving a motion to approve by Councilman Napoleone. I think it was Mr. Peduzzi. I think I heard you say you were seconded. So Commissioner Peduzzi, you've seconded. I see no further discussion. I'm going to take, I guess we should do a roll call on this. Let's do a roll call.
Okay. Would it be helpful to share it on the screen or everyone's clear on the motion?
I think we're good. I think we all have it all in right. The board information.
Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker?
Yes.
Andy Thompson?
Yes.
Stephen Grant?
Yes.
Shelley Petroli has not joined us, so she will be absent. Joelle Flores? Yes. Jim Koretsky is absent. Christopher McBoy?
Yes.
Joni Brinkman?
Yes.
Catherine Waldron?
Yes.
Melissa McKinley?
No.
Mac Bernard?
Yes.
Maria Sachs?
Yes.
Greg Weiss?
Yes.
Shirley Lanier?
Yes.
Fred Pinto?
No.
Michael Napoleone?
Yes.
Kelly Shove?
Yes.
Joseph Peduzzi?
Yes.
Chelsea Reed?
Yes.
Robert Weinroth?
Yes.
It passes with 2 opposed.
Okay, very good. All right. I think we have put that to bed for a little while. Now, as I said, we have one very non-controversial item in front of us, when to hold these meetings. All right.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I didn't have that item was pulled from consent.
I know, but we've approved on consent the dates, but there was not an approval of the time.
Okay.
Time is on the board. We approved.
All right. So let's just have a quick conversation about this because it sort of changed.
Can I have just a motion to reconsider that item?
If you feel that we need a motion to reconsider the item that was approved on consent, do I have the chair doesn't think we need to move to reconsider that item. What do you think, Paul?
Just need to clarify. I think it's going to make it more confusing because the motion to reconsider will be whether or not to approve the consent agenda.
All right. So let's just see where we are and get a consensus of what we think about the time of this meeting. I personally, driving from South County, have no problem being here at 9:00. I have a problem with the meetings going too long. And I think, you know, we're staring right now. It's now, 11:30. And we know what happens at noon. All of a sudden, people start moving out of the room because they have other meetings. So my personal feeling is we should go back to 9 a.m., but I am now going to leave it open to my colleagues to discuss. Councilman Napoleone, you came up first, so you're first at the bat.
Keep the meetings at 9 a.m. so we can hopefully be out of here by lunch.
Okay. Vice Chair Reed.
I agree. My question is, what is the hard stop time? So I just gave a mommy finger shaking at the beginning of the meeting for all of us to make sure that our calendars accommodate for us to stay the full time. So if we're doing that, if we go back to 9, when will we really get to be done?
Well, let's deal with this one item at a time. We keep on mixing our issues. I mean, certainly I'd like to have a hard stop, but I don't think that's practical. Sometimes there's just going to be a need to continue. Vice Mayor Weiss, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it can't. One, the reason I suggested we change the start time is we're supposed to be leading this community by example. And we're asking other people to set their work times to try and avoid the congestion of coming into an area, into a downtown area. And I felt like starting it at 9:00 when most other businesses, that's when their employees are trying to get here, puts us in competition with them. And we've asked them to look at and adjust and make their schedules so they don't try and minimize the impact. So that's where my feeling is on this.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Commissioner Waldron.
I understand the Vice Mayor just said, but you know, I'm fine either way. Actually, I think 9 is probably better though, just because of time constraints. And I don't have far to drive. I don't find the commute at this time too onerous, and I don't really find it that too bad, unless it's raining and it's Christmas time around for 9 o'clock either. So either way, I'm fine.
Mayor Flores.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with the comments that Commissioner Weiss made, that we're supposed to be leaders and that we're supposed to represent our community. But some of us do have real jobs, and we do have to pay the bills. And we're responsible to other organizations that we were employed with. Sometimes it's hard when you have a commitment with a client, such as I do today at 1 o'clock. I have to be on a Zoom call. So it's hard when you don't really know what the exit time is. And the later we start, then it really complicates my schedule, and not only mine, but then my team if they have to cover for me. So I would like this to be as early as possible with a hard stop of 12:30. I don't know. I understand that there's certain business that we can't stop, but once we get to the informational items, I think that's, we can stop at that point.
Very good. Commissioner Schoaf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been asked on behalf of Commissioner Lambert, who sits in the seat full time, to advocate for the earlier meeting time, the better. I certainly respect what Commissioner Weiss has to say, but in the city of West Palm Beach, as commissioners, we too have full-time jobs. And so I think it behooves us to try to get some consistency to meetings. I will say I sit on the TDC with Commissioner Sachs, and we do have a hard stop 11 o'clock, and we're usually there. I understand it's challenging, but you have a new interim director sitting in the room who I think can help control some of that with your agenda management and seeing what can go on consent items and how you can move that forward. So I think the earlier you can get started to really take care of the very important business that you do here, the better.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sachs, you are recognized.
Thank you. I don't think it's so matter what time we start. It's time management. We got to end at a certain time. I mean, we could start at 7, so we get out at 11, but I think we need a hard stop date. We're professionals, and we need to act as professionals. So any discussion as to what time we start has to be included in what time we end, so that we can all budget our times accordingly. So with that, I move that we have a hard stop. It makes no difference. So let's continue to start at 9.
I'd like to make a motion that we begin at 9 and have a hard stop. That we will
11:30.
Well, I actually, I would love a noon hard stop. We will have days like today where we, and the last 3 meetings where we have to take our shovels out and dig.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than sitting here and watching everyone leave at 11:30. And we don't have a quorum. We can't push what we need to get done. All of these discussions we're having today could have happened 2 months ago.
Yes.
So I would love to make that a thing of the past, especially with this board. So
let's do it. Go ahead and make the motion.
I'd like to make the motion that we begin at 9, aiming right for 11:30, hard stop at noon.
Excellent. I second that.
All right. So Vice Mayor Reed has just made a motion that effective with our next meeting, the meeting will start at 9 a.m. This body will try and aim for an end of our at least action items by 11:30 with a hard stop at noon. And our new interim director is here to hear our thoughts. All in favor, all opposed? I don't hear any opposed. We are resetting our calendars. Margie, you'll make the appropriate changes. All right.
Yes, I will.
We're moving on. Okay, we're now on to motion to appoint representatives for the Southeast Florida Transportation Council.
Move approval of item 2B.
Second.
I have motion by Commissioner McKinley, second by Councilman.
Sorry. For this, I need, where are you asking for the same members to be represented? Because
that's what, I'm sorry, in our meetings, when the motion is presented here, that is the motion that we move. The motion here is Mayor Fred Pinto is the current delegate. County Commissioner Maria Marino is the current alternate delegate. That's the motion I'm moving.
That's fine. Well, so we're leaving in place the two incumbents. Again, Mayor Pinto and Commissioner Marino would continue as our appointments.
That was the motion. I understood the second.
Councilman yes. Napoleone, seeing no further yes, Commissioner Mayor Grant.
Thank you. And so, you know, I'll concur with this because I know, Mayor Pinto is not on the executive committee. Is that correct?
He's not.
And so that's kind of where I would want, Commissioner Marino is. And so I want to make sure that we have people who are on the executive committee to be representing us in these positions.
Are you making a substitute motion to flip the two around and make Commissioner Marino the delegate and Mayor Pinto the alternate?
The aspect of it is that it's calling for nominations. And so I just wanted to make sure my voice was heard on that comment. So I'm not going to put the substitute motion.
You're not making a substitute motion. Okay. So the motion on the table is to leave Mayor Pinto as the current delegate and County Commissioner Marino as the alternate. Seeing no further discussion. Commissioner Sachs, your card is up. You want to discuss? Leftover. Okay. I don't see where a roll call is necessary in this. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Show it unanimously approved. We move on to the motion to appoint representatives to the MPO, the Advisory Council. Currently, I am the representative and the alternate is Commissioner Marino.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move this motion, but it would be nice to hear from our executive director if he could bother to show up on whether or not anybody else sought to be appointed.
unfortunately, our executive director is not available.
He's walking through the doors.
We are seeking some clarification whether there are other people who have raised an interest in being appointed to the Florida Metropolitan Planning Organization Advisory Council.
At Commissioner McKinley's suggestion, I actually made available every month, and Margie does a great job of providing access to this, the opportunity to meet with me in advance of each of the board meetings to review content on the agenda.
Did anybody else seek to be appointed to this position? I'm not asking for any other commentary, Mr. Urin. Did anybody else give a letter of interest in being appointed to the MPO AC, or was it just to keep Commissioner Weinroth and Commissioner Marino as the representatives? So yes or no?
No.
Thank you.
Mayor, I'm sorry if I may make a comment.
Yes, Ms. Pierce.
I did have Commissioner Marino reach out to me directly and note that she is willing to continue to serve in her capacity on the MPOAC.
Okay, so Commissioner Marino has expressed an interest in continuing, and I also would be interested in continuing if it is the will of this board.
Mr. Chairman, there is the opportunity for two people to serve as an alternate, not just one, so if anybody else is interested.
I'd be interested.
Okay.
So Chairman, I'll make a motion to appoint Mayor Robert Weinroth as the current representative and Commissioner Maria Marino as an alternate and Councilwoman Chelsea Reed as an alternate.
Second.
Okay. We have a second by Mayor Grant.
Mayor Flores.
Mayor Flores. I knew there was a mayor over there somewhere. Okay. So we have the motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Show it as approved. I will continue as a representative, and Commissioners Marino and Reed will be serving as alternates. All right. Let's move on to the motion to adopt a resolution approving the amendment number 2 to the TPA's fiscal year transportation planning TIP. Can we have a brief presentation?
Morning, everyone. Today, I'm going to present to you
Amendment number 2 of the Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal year 22 through 26. This is an action item that will require a vote at the end of the presentation and discussion. This amendment is a request by FDOT to amend, modify one project, and add a new project to the Transportation Improvement Program. Quickly, I go over this each time. I'm going to skip through this of why an amendment is needed. There's several reasons listed here on the board. I'm going to go into the projects. The first project is I-95 at PGA Boulevard. The action being taken here is advancing these funds from fiscal year 24 to fiscal year 22. The reason for this change is a new funding source. American Rescue Plan Act Fund became available in March of this year, and FDOT was able to leverage those funds and advance them and place them on this project, which advances it to the fiscal year 22. The other project is a project that you've seen before. And when we were developing the TIP, this was one of those projects that was pulled for further collaboration between Boynton Beach, the TPA, and FDOT. They've come to some agreements and kind of harmonized the transition between the adjacent projects that abut this project for bike and pedestrian improvements. And I've got a couple of illustrations quickly to show you here. There's a project to the west, a resurfacing project with bike lanes, buffered bike lanes and sidewalks, transitions into the buffered bike lanes and sidewalks as part of this project that's being considered. And then to the east, there's a shared use path, and that's what this project would transition into. And so with that, those are the two projects being considered as part of this amendment. I'll take any questions at this time.
And so I want to thank FDOT for working with me and the City of Boynton Beach and the TPA to get the extra 2 feet of sidewalk. It was a struggle. And if you could pull up that last slide, the original request is just to remove the buffered bike lane and add that to the sidewalk so there wouldn't be any additional costs. This is an acceptable change. However, I would not want to think that this is a good change for the TPA board. The fact remains is that they put bicyclists on the road at 40 miles per hour with curves west of Old Boynton Road. And then they have the 8 feet of sidewalk with the 7 foot buffered bike lane, where that's 15 feet. And we see east of 95, that's a shared use path. There was a lot of difficulty working with FDOT standards when it comes to shared use paths. And I think that's something that we need to discuss with our lobbyists in the legislative session so that we have an understanding of a requirement for a shared use path and an understanding of a standard for a shared use path. If I'm not mistaken, I'll like to request our TPA staff to determine what is the standard for a shared use path or set with a separated bike lane.
Just consulting with the other staff to get the exact numbers.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Connor Campobasso, Palm Beach TPA. So the DOT standard for a shared use pathway is a minimum of 12 feet in width, but an additional 4 feet on each side of clear zones. And so that totals up to a pretty large area. So that's the current standard for DOT.
So they're saying that in order to have a shared use path on both sides of the road, you need 40 feet, which I think is a little bit much. Especially if their actual only path is 12 feet, they have the ability to put a leeway of maybe a foot, 2 feet on either side of the shared use path, because most of the time it is that. And so I don't want to rush or to stall all the development that's going on, because I know a lot of people have been working hard. But this is something that I want to help educate the TPA board on, is that the current standard is able to be changed, because as we see, there's a 15 use shared use path on the bottom, not 20 feet, because there is no, I don't believe, the 4 foot on each side bailout area. So that's something that we need to monitor and work with our local staff to make sure that we are protecting the bicyclists and the pedestrians, because as it currently stands, in order to ride your bike on the 7-foot buffered bike lane, you will have to navigate cars going on and off the highway at Boynton Beach Boulevard, which is a heavily trafficked interchange. So I'm not going to put the motion forward, but I did say that this is acceptable.
All right. Ms. Nielsen, you've heard the comments. Perhaps we can have some further discussion on this at a later date. All right. Vice Mayor Weiss.
Yeah, I'd like to go ahead and move approval of this item. And just comment, and while I'm in agreement with you, Mayor Grant, I just to be aware, I think that in a number of communities, these shared use paths are now being utilized by golf carts going both directions. And so, you know, I while I support having more flexibility as you're suggesting, I, you know, just to be clear on sort of what some of the transitions that are happening, not only here, but around the state.
Yeah. Very good. All right. I have a motion by whom? Anybody want to make a motion? Commissioner Sachs, I thought your card went down again.
Because this is a discussion that we need to have seriously this next year under an interim director. I have spoken about this numerous times with Mr. Unwin. He's been very proactive in not looking just at the United States, but also globally, how people are able to have transportation in segregated bike lanes. That is completely to have the segregated bike lanes from vehicular traffic, which is the only way that you can really promote safety and increase transportation without having to have gas vehicles. And you could even have EV run motorized golf carts. So this is definitely an issue that we need to discuss this year of priority. So I look forward to that. That's the only discussion I want to have on that. So I absolutely support Mayor Grant and Vice Mayor Weiss. This is a discussion we definitely need to have. Not at this time, but we need to look at it. Thank you.
I'm going to just say two words on this, Vision Zero. It's Pierce.
I believe I had a motion by Commissioner Weiss.
Did I have a seconder?
I'll second.
Okay. Vice Chair Reed, you are our seconder. We need a roll call on this, so would you please call it?
Steve Wilson is absent. Yvette Drucker?
Sorry, but I missed the motion. I got the motion.
Okay. I can restate it.
Motion to adopt the resolution approving amendment number 2 to the TPA's fiscal year 22-26 transportation improvement program.
I'll have a discussion later on with Mayor Grant. That was, I guess, motion by Mr. Weiss.
There's two items on there. One is PGA Boulevard and at I-95. The other one is Boynton Beach Boulevard, I-95. And Mayor Grant, while he made comments about this, did not speak against the acceptance of this motion or this resolution.
Just making sure I was okay. Yes.
Thank you. I have that she voted in support. Andy Thompson.
Yes.
Stephen Grant.
Yes.
Shelley Petrolio, we marked as absent. Joel Flores.
Yes.
Jim Gretzky is absent. Christopher McVoy.
Yes.
Joni Brinkman.
Yes.
Catherine Waldron.
Yes.
Melissa McKinley.
Yes.
Mac Bernard.
Yes.
Maria Sachs. Yes. Greg Weiss.
Yes.
Shirley Lanier.
Yes.
Fred Pinto.
Yes.
Michael Napoleone.
Yes.
Kelly Schoaf.
Yes.
Joseph Paduzzi.
Yes.
Chelsea Reed.
Yes.
Robert Weinroth.
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pierce.
May I make a comment about PGA real quick?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure, since PGA didn't really come up in descriptive, I just want to, may I take a moment if that's okay? Yeah. Okay, cool. I just want to thank DOT. I want to echo the voice of Natalie Crowley at our city as well. This it's a current project that will really, really help with the conditions that we have at that intersection. If you take a look at the TPA map that we use, the fatal and severe injury crash area, there are a lot of polka dots right there. So, and Andrew, thank you for taking the time to go through it with me a little while back. So I want to take this meeting, this moment in the meeting to appreciate what FDOT has done here, and also ask them to please take a look at the ramp, the adjacent ramp to this merge area. It is a one single lane ramp where we do have a tremendous amount of backup quite often, which leads to the issue that we're having at this merge. So I'd like to respectfully ask DOT to take a look. I'm not sure we have a lot there. There's a wedge piece. I don't know about the right of way, but it does seem like a good time to ask for that to be pursued. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I'm going to make note of the fact that we've lost our quorum, at least internally. So
you still have quorum. Your quorum is 11.
We just, all right, we're sitting on it, but all the action items are now behind us. So we are going to make our hard cutoff as far as action items as of 12 o'clock, as of our new policy. So we're going to move on now to information items. Item 3A, PalmTran Major Transit Development Plan. And
we did move PalmTran. It's actually now a legislative update.
That's true. All right, Clinton, I'm sorry. You have to sit down a little while longer. Okay, legislative update.
And we have TPA consultants, Lori Hedinger and Lisa Barkovic that are virtual.
Good morning, everyone. We're gonna go through this presentation quickly because I know you're probably anxious to leave. But we thought it was a very important bill that's just passed the infrastructure bill. So we want to make sure y'all know there's many, many opportunities with TPA and this presentation. I know Andrew and Melissa are going to share this with you afterwards. And we can also come to your February meeting or another meeting as well to dive into the details. Next slide. Just right quick on the formula programs. Well, one thing I just want to add is that this bill includes the Surface Transportation Authorization Bill, which authorizes and provides increased funding for many of the for most all the programs that the TPA relies on. In addition, which is very unique, it provides mandatory money for many of these programs and additional competitive grant programs over 5 years, which can make it easier for you to plan ahead with your TIP. The first program is a Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. Utilizes your local initiatives program, a very large increase. Federal Highways has already done an estimate for the state of Florida. They have not done it yet for the urbanized areas, but you, as you can see, your estimate is $3.6 billion. And then for the Transportation Alternatives Program, as a reminder, I think you have your own program for this, and it's used for smaller transportation projects such as stormwater, pedestrian, bicycle facilities, and there's a good increase for that too. Next slide. And these are two competitive grant programs. I know the state of Florida has done very well. And as you can see, almost 80% increase for EMPRA. This is a grant program for projects of regional and national significance. The next program is RAISE, which used to be BUILD and TIGER. And it got a 70% increase over the next 5 years for this important program. We're hearing that that program, the notice of funding opportunity should come out first quarter of next year. And I heard many of you speak about the issues with pedestrian safety and bicycling safety. For the first time ever, we now have a program to address that called Safe Streets and Roads for All. And there's gonna be $5 billion for this, which as you can see is gonna be $1 billion per year. Next slide. Next slide. And the third program too, and listening to what you're talking about making sure there is connectivity within the county. This is to exactly do that, making sure pedestrians and bicyclists are safe. And whether it's recreational or getting to their jobs or workplace or shopping. And it's a competitive grant program just to do that, to make sure there's a safe and active spine throughout the community. Next slide. And then lastly, there's, for the first time, a resiliency title in this bill. And the first grant was created, in my opinion, for the state of Florida. It is funding for you to do an assessment of your transportation assets that continue to flood or have issues with hurricanes, tornadoes, or any other extreme weather. And as you can see, there's going to be $1.4 billion in grants that you can compete for directly. Next slide. I will give it to my colleague, Lisa, to go over transit.
Thanks, Lori. So in addition to all of the new competitive grant programs and new formula programs that the highway portion of the bill created, there was a significant increase in funding for key transit and rail programs. So for capital investment grants, they've almost doubled the amount of money that will be available. Some of it will be subject to the annual appropriations process, but big increase for funding projects for bus rapid transit, light rail, streetcar, increase of your urbanized area formula grants. And then the other big increase that we'll be seeing within the FTA bus section is a significant increase for the low to no emission bus grants. Next slide. And so that's kind of just the very high level brief overview of the bipartisan infrastructure law, which we're also calling the IIJA. Wanted to talk briefly too about the Build Back Better Act that is being discussed right now in the Senate. The House passed their version right before Thanksgiving. This is the reconciliation bill. And so there, when the House passed their bill, they had some additional funding for transportation initiatives on top of the IIJA. And one of the couple of the programs we just wanted to point out to you is $10 billion for the Affordable Housing Access Program. This is really a joint program with FTA and HUD to support transit projects that are providing access to affordable housing and improve mobility for low-income riders, as well as a $4 billion for Community Climate Incentive Grant Program, which will be run through the Secretary's office. And then, of course, more money for zero emission vehicle infrastructure grants. That's going to be the, you know, key highlight of all the funding that you'll see coming out. Next slide. So just quick takeaways. Again, we did this very quickly, much faster than what we have been, but happy to get further in details at additional meetings. But plan for lots of competitive grant opportunities. This is a five-year bill, so you don't have to be ready this first year, but let's get in line. Let's start talking about it and strategizing and working together on coordination within the region. Like I said, five-year bill, and start talking to the Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, and there are other portions of the bill that have funding going towards the EPA and other departments and agencies. So just, you know, be prepared to talk to them about what your priorities are from the local level.
And just one last thing I was going to say is that we're still waiting for Congress to pass its appropriations for this fiscal year. They're expected to do that in mid-February. Once they do that, DOT will begin to start sending out their notice of funding opportunities for these grants and finalizing their apportionments to the states and then to the TPAs as yourselves.
Next slide, questions?
No, doesn't look like there are any questions. I think the interest is slowly waning.
Figured.
Nick, I got a question for you, actually. Obviously, this is going to put a lot of pressure on the TPA. There's going to be a lot of grant writing going on. Is this something that is, there's personnel to do it at this point in time, or should this agency be looking to perhaps add in a personnel to be responsible for putting these grants together over the next couple of years?
Some of the grant opportunities are going to be more suited for local governments to pursue, but to the extent that the TPA wants to be the lead applicant, you have both staff and consulting support that would allow you to pursue those opportunities.
Okay. And is your understanding most of the money that's coming out of this bill from on infrastructure, it's not necessarily just going to be money doled out on some sort of a pro rata basis or an allocation based upon your population, but you're going to have to draw it down based on grants?
So I think Holland and I did a pretty good job of identifying that, but just make sure you understand terminology. Formula funding means you get dollars based on how many people you have. Discretionary funding means you have to apply and compete. So there are both components of funding in this bill. And I think the formula funding will see a significant increase in routine dollars available for the local initiatives program, the transportation alternatives program, as well as some of the federal dollars we use for the big projects in Palm Beach County, the strategic intermodal system projects. That's all formula. That's all guaranteed. The discretionary funds are ones we have to apply for and compete. One of the interesting things that I would note from a summary that you obtained from the Florida DOT is that instead of the top-down approach that formula funding allows, it will promote a little bit of competition among local governments. And I think Lori did a good job of stressing, Lori and Lisa both, stressing the importance of collaboration within the region. If we apply together, if we endorse one another's projects, not only within Palm Beach County, but within Southeast Florida, then I think we stand a much higher degree of a much higher probability of success in pursuing some of those discretionary funds.
Very good. Obviously, Valerie, we're going to be looking for you to work with the county engineer and with the municipalities to be collaborating on those grant opportunities. Okay. I guess that's the end of that presentation on legislative update. And so it is now not, it's hard stop on action items, but we're going to continue on the information items. You are free to wander off into the sunset if that is your obligations. Clinton, I will sit here and enjoy your presentation.
Mr. Chair, we recognize it is lunchtime, so we are going to abbreviate our presentation. Today, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members, we have our consultant here to present the Transit Development Plan, which is a strategic document that lays out the vision for public transit services in Palm Beach County over the next 10 years. It is a robust document. The one thing I want to leave with you today is that we are required by the state to submit this document every 5 years to update it and submit it. It's contingent upon us receiving and continue to receive grant funding from the state. But it is a living document. We are also required to update this document annually. So we plan, while we don't have much time to probably have questions and discuss this document robustly today, we definitely are willing to come back in a workshop setting or another setting to, you know, vet any questions that you might have regarding this program. This transit development plan, we've called it Accelerate 2031. Really, it's this 10-year vision comes at a critical juncture. With the pandemic, we have experienced a major disruption in transit services, not only here, but nationwide. We thought that the recovery would be a much shorter period. But we have seen some positive recovery. We know that it is going to be much longer than we had anticipated. We have Joel Ray, who will do the presentation, a short PowerPoint from Tyndale Oliver. I want to tell you that this was an organizational initiative effort to put this program together. So we do have our team of Levi McCullen, our Director of Transit Planning, Chad Hockman, our Director of Operations, Jeremy Baker, our Chief Financial Officer, and of course, Todd Von Laren, who provided leadership oversight over this process. So with that, I would like to introduce Joel Ray, who's the Vice President of Tyndale Oliver Transit and Transportation.
Thank you, Clinton, and good morning, Board. Thank you, and I'll be brief in my comments. I'm going to take you quickly through the slides. As Mr. Forbes mentioned, the TDP is a state requirement. The block grant funding program is something that all of the transit systems in the state that operate fixed route bus service are eligible to receive, assuming that they complete a major update of their TDP every 5 years with an annual progress report done in those interim years, the interim 4 years in between. This is very important to the systems. It is flexible funding. And for example, this year alone, Palm Trans allocation would be about $5.8 million. So it is very critical that they receive this money. But more importantly, the TDP is a way that transit systems use to set that vision for the next decade of what they are going to try and achieve as they grow and evolve. One of the things I will mention, and this is especially important for next week's meeting with the Board of County Commissioners, is this is a plan. It is not a budget. So keep that in mind when I get to the fiscal data at the end. It is a plan that has been compiled with the help of staff. It involved all facets of Palm Trans operations, not just planning, but all of the folks in infrastructure, operations, even talking to drivers. The outreach program itself was very extensive, given that we had a very tight time frame. As Mr. Forbes mentioned, COVID did impact us. This is typically a 10 to 12 month process. We completed the vast majority of the effort in about 3.5 months. So in the month of September, we went out to the publics virtually. We only had in-person meetings with the drivers in their break room. You see here all of the different activities that were completed throughout this process. We engaged somewhere just over about 12,000 folks between surveys and comments that we received back through online media. The outreach, just touching on a couple of the results here you see on this slide, we asked folks on the online survey, which we had about 754 respondents, we asked them if they were a rider, and what you'll see is 86% said yes. And typically in an online survey, we don't see this. This is because the onboard survey was not completed because of the short duration of the study. So that's how we also accessed riders, was through the online format. We also asked folks how frequently they use the service. And you see there that 43% of our respondents said that they're frequent or daily users. So this was a great aspect of the survey that we gave folks who are regular riders an opportunity to weigh in on what their needs are as well. The top three reasons that people do ride Palmtran was 62% that they don't have a car, 12% that they're trying to save money, 9% believe the bus is safer. Because we also had non-riders, we did ask them why they do not use the service. 48% says it takes longer than the use of their automobile. 40% said they had no bus stops near them, either where they lived or where they worked. And 37% said that if there was a bus stop nearby, it was very difficult to get to. We also talked to folks about the importance of transit and how much more important it would become over the next decade. 73% agreed with the statement that transit would become more important because of worsening traffic congestion in the county. 70% also definitely agreed with the position that transit would become more important because of the aging adult population that would need more transportation choices because they were choosing to live in their homes longer. Three things that would cause people to ride Palmtran. We asked both riders and non-riders, what do you think is going to encourage people to use transit? Some or for, you know, a portion of their trip, 60% said frequency, greater frequency would be helpful. 58% more regional express connections. And 55% said more weekend service. And then finally, we talked about how do we fund things like this, these improvements, because they're certainly not inexpensive. Two-thirds definitely agreed with the statement that they would support a local transit funding source if everyone helped contribute. So this was trying to determine the difference between maybe a property tax, where only residents who own homes participate, versus a sales tax, where tourists and visitors and other folks would participate as well. And then two-thirds, 67%, thought that more information would be helpful in helping them decide whether to support a long-term dedicated funding source. The other key aspect of a TDP is this thing that FDOT requires called a situation appraisal. You can think of it as a large SWOT exercise, and really the process is to figure out what Palmtran is doing well, what are the strengths of the system, what needs are requiring improvement, and then are there any barriers that may prevent us from improving those things. And you see here that a lot of the different analyses that were completed throughout this 3.5-4 month effort. I'll just give you an example, looking at the baseline conditions, the socioeconomic trends, for example, in the community. We found a growing population and also an aging population. So two of the things those would suggest: higher demand for paratransit, especially in the future, and then core network improvements. We also looked at the possibility of changes in how people travel to work because of the lingering impacts of COVID and more work at home. So looking at ways of enhancing trip making during the non-peak periods, we thought would be important. So once you identify needs, you come up with alternatives to meet those needs. And this process was facilitated greatly by Palmtran. They are the busiest group of people I've ever met. They are very active in projects that they're currently doing and projects that they're planning to do. And so we utilized a lot of that information to craft the alternatives to meet the needs. These are just the operational alternatives that we looked at with them. You're very familiar with the 561 plan from the 2045 LRTP. 9 of the 11 routes have Palmtran service on them. So part of the plan was to consider the enhancement of service on those 9 corridors, also enhancing span and frequency improvements in the non-core network. One of the things that came out of the study, for example, was Southern Boulevard. The Route 40 operates on that between Belle Glade and Wellington Mall. A lot of the folks in the Glade said, for job purposes, we really need greater frequency. That route's primarily 60 minutes throughout the day. So one of the improvements we talked about doing was moving that to 30 minutes. There were also alternatives related to capital and infrastructure improvements, including improvements at all three maintenance facilities. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention improving bus stops. That came up a lot as we talked to folks, the need to improve infrastructure and the ADA accessibility compliance of bus stops. Technology, policy, and plans and studies were also included among the alternatives. There was a large process to take the alternatives and then prioritize them, looking at ridership potential, what their cost would be, how well they improve the connectivity of the system, and also the public support for them helped us prioritize the improvements, and that enabled us to put together a plan. These tables are summary tables from the full report that show all of the elements, the different improvements to services or new services being implemented that have been proposed. It also shows the cost, both from an operating and a capital standpoint. And I would point out that some of the elements do have funding sources that had limited availability, specifically from the American Rescue Plan Act. So those have funding for a portion of the 10-year period. So we're considering those more as pilot projects that would be then looking for more direct funding for the latter portion of the 10-year period to make sure that they can continue. So these were the service improvements from an operating standpoint. And again, these are the elements from the plans, the policies, the technology, and other capital infrastructure that made it into the plan. And then, of course, the financial aspects of it. Of course, the operating expenses are shown here over the 10-year period. The total cost for the plan, about $1.45 billion over the 10-year period. The revenues that are anticipated to be generated during that time is about $1.32 billion. So that differential shortfall is about $127 million that we would be looking for alternative sources to help fund. And then on the capital side, you see here the total cost for the 10-year plan, $209 million. Revenues are $190.2 million, so we're looking for a shortfall of about $18.8 million, again, over that 10-year period. Try to be as quick as possible. Of course, we're going to the Board of County Commissioners next week on Tuesday for adoption of the plan, and then the plan will be submitted to the department by the plan deadline.
Thank you for the presentation. I know Mayor Grant insists on giving us a question and then we're going to call it a day.
So the aspect being on the Palm Trans Service Board, the two comments is that the acreage and the Western communities are not included. I think that needs to especially happen if the county commission continues to put homes there without alternative means of transportation beside a single vehicle. And then the other thing is the technology of a signal prioritization, the fact that we are putting fiber optics throughout all our traffic signals. We need to connect that with the bus system, because otherwise, if there's too many cars on the road, the buses aren't going to work on that frequency amount. So those are the two comments. I may speak again next Tuesday.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'm going to say to everybody who has endured the entire meeting, thank you very much. There are some more correspondence and other items in your notes that you can take a look at. We're going to call it a day. I'm not going to make a motion to adjourn because I don't have a quorum anymore. So everybody go home.